necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the morning wake-up call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax, my toll-free. Long distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways you need to get up, you need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. I didn't know that apparently things are, what's the word I'm looking for, groovy? Things are fine. One of my favorite lines from The Matrix, right as rain. Things are right as rain. George Bush says we're doing fine. Things are right as rain. The average American family has taken a financial tumble. as many of you know. Millions in this country are going hungry. Thousands and thousands of people. Lives have been impacted, affected negatively until the day they die, with the babies that have died in a needless war, needless, pointless war. Bush talked up our nation's wealth in a speech to Milwaukee, and he said, and I quote, the former cheerleader said, and you know, in all fairness, I guess, this is where he uses those cheerleading skills. He said, we're fine. We're fine. But I guess I understand why he wasn't a varsity cheerleader. Because when there's 30 seconds to the final buzzer, and you're 40 points, there's a 40-point difference between you and the winning team. You don't engage in a cheer that says we're number one. But that's what George W. Bush, the former cheerleader, non-varsity, don't you know, cheerleader, has to say. Economic growth, 3.5%. Unemployment down to held down to 4.7%. 4 million new jobs created in the last 30 months. And see how far back he has to go to get some new jobs? 30 months. Who talks in terms of 30 months? After tax income has risen 8% since 2001. That's why, I don't know. Normally cheerleaders are not exactly Phi Beta Kappa material. Because with that, after days of George Bush's book report explaining the state of the economic state of this nation, the Federal Reserve reported that the average incomes, adjusting for inflation, had actually fallen between the years he's taken office. The same time, the number of Americans who need emergency food aid to survive has swollen to more than 25 million. That's even before Katrina and Rita hit, huh? We're number one? Sweetie, no. We're not even in the playoffs. We're not number one. The central bank reported that many families continue to struggle in the wake of the 2000 stock market crash. Inflation has eaten away the average American family's income, reducing the total to $70,000. The median family income showed a slight increase of 1.6%. Half of the households are understood to stand above. Half are to fall below. Last year proved to be one of the worst on record for inflation-adjusted income. Wages and compensation for the average workers are lagging inflation despite strong productivity growth. Real wages fell 0.9% to the lowest annual result on record, while compensation essentially unchanged. We're not number one. We're not in the playoffs. Nobody even knows our name. 76% of households carry debt. That's up from 2001. Of the households in debt, the median amount of debt is, are you ready for this? $55,000. Amounts to 128% of the median household income. A greater number of people reported not saving money in 2004 than they did in 2001. Only 41% of Americans save money regularly. Americans have been piling up debt. Credit card debt grew 10%. 15.9% was the average of the households. Stagnant wages. Skyrocketing health care. The gap between the wealthy and the poor has widened. America's wealthiest 10% saw their net worth rise by 6.1%. Americans are keeping their families afloat by putting up their greatest asset. Why? They're putting up their houses. More than 25 million Americans were forced to resort to food donations. That's an 8% increase. 9 million children younger than 18 and 3 million senior citizens are now among the hungry. 70% of the people seeking emergency food assistance are living below the federal poverty line. 40% have at least one working adult in their homes. And I want to be accurate. And George W. Bush, the former non-varsity cheerleader, said, and I quote, "We're doing fine. We're doing fine." Ain't that some stuff? He should lose his job just for that. He should lose his job for letting that come out his, as the kids say, out his mouth. Out his mouth. He's also said that we're going to stay in Iraq and the soldiers are supportive and the mindset of the soldiers are in line with his mindset, huh? A Zogby poll shows that just 1 in 5 troops want to heed Bush's call to say to stay as long as we are needed. 1 in 5. 58% say the mission is clear. 42% say that the U.S. role is hazy. 90% of the soldiers believe that the war is in retaliation for Saddam's role in 9/11. Let me let you in on something. Saddam had no role in 9/11. Let me just let you in on a little something. Saddam had no role in 9/11. An overwhelming majority, 72% of American troops serving in Iraq say that the U.S. should exit the country within the next year. That's a Zogby poll. And 1 in 4 say the troops should leave now. Did you hear me? Now. Four five four oh 400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We're doing fine. You didn't know? We're doing fine. Well, we're not doing fine, and Americans are seeing that it's your fault, boy George. George Bush's job rating has fallen to an all-time low of 34%. 34%. It dropped 8 points from last month. Huh? 59% of the respondents said that they disapproved of Bush's performance on the job. What's the word I'm looking for? Ouch.
Ouch. Long among his strongest suits, what he's normally been given credit for. What George Bush has been held out there, He's always had strong numbers for his handling of Iraq. Well, that's fallen to 30%. 30% think that he has handled Iraq. I'm reminded of the words that when I think about these numbers, this 34% approval rating, my mind takes a journey back to the good old days. Isn't that something? A woman my age talking about the good old days. But I'm reminded of the good old days of pre-9/11. Because the last time that George W. Bush's numbers were this low was right before we were attacked on 9/11. And so I'm reminded of the famous words that should enter our mental thesauruses, our mental Rolodexes. I'm reminded of the words that I said when Dick Cheney shot his friend in the head and the heart. Duck, America. Duck. Duck. Because something's coming. Duck. Bush's ratings are at 34%. According to the poll, 70% of Americans believe that the Dubai ports world transaction should not be allowed to go through. 21% didn't see it as a big deal. And most of those were on serious medication and really didn't understand that they were taking part in a poll. You hear what I'm saying? 70% believe that the deal should not go through. And I think that many Americans intuitively just, they don't like the idea. You shouldn't like the idea. Private control of private government control. Because when Great Britain controlled our ports, it was a public-owned business. This is a state-owned business. This is owned by a government. And in being owned by a government, this Dubai company is violating the very rules that were put in place to examine whether or not if there should be foreign ownership of any business. This is a state-owned company. This is not a public company. Therein lies the big deal. Ask yourself, Americans. Ask yourself, my fellow Americans. Why hasn't the news media been talking to you in terms of the state-owned component of this Dubai world, this Dubai deal? Because that's a big deal, and it is in direct violation, of our own rules and regulations. Huh? And I think most Americans intuitively know there's something stanky. That's a technical legal term, stanky, about this deal. You want to know some more stanky stuff? Huh? CSX Lines. Were sold to the Carlyle Group in February 2003 for $300 million. One of the biggest customers of CSX Lines is the U.S. military. Jon Snow, the CEO of CSX, was appointed Treasury Secretary by Bush on February 7, 2003. David Sanborn was an executive at CSX and then a senior Dubai Ports World executive and that's who Bush appointed last month to be the new administrator of the Maritime Administration of the Transportation Department. Sanborn worked as Dubai Port World's Director of Operations for Europe and Latin America. Huh? Do you think that Sanborn greased the skids for Dubai Port World to get the Bush approval to run operations of 21 of our nation's ports? You think? Americans know that. Americans know that. Huh. Huh. 454-0400 is my phone number. We have so much more to talk about. I'm Liz Brown. We're taking a break. You need to get to me. You need to get to me. You need to get to me. We've got much business to tend to. My number is 1-877-920-WGNU. My name is Liz Brown. You don't want to miss what's coming after this. Stay with me.
Listening to the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown on AM 920 WGNU.
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Traffic Law Hotline. Southbound 270 at Page and Olive. Look for it. An accident has been cleared. Eastbound 44 between Bowles and 270 looks good. Northbound 55 between Richardson and 270. No problems to report this hour. Northbound 270 at 44 and Marshall. Look for slow traffic heading up this way. Eastbound 40 between Clarkson and Lindbergh. Look for it. No problems to report there as well. Eastbound 70 from 370 to 270 looks good. Westbound 270 at Old Halls Ferry and Graham Hanley. Nothing to report there. Westbound 5570 from the Poplar Street Bridge all the way or onto the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for everything to be flowing freely. Westbound 64 to 5570 split looks good. And westbound Martin Luther King Drive before McLeod's Landing, everything is on the move. Northbound Route 3, those approaches onto the Poplar Street Bridge are looking good this hour. Southbound Pennsylvania near Pagedale Industrial Court, right lane is blocked due to water main work. Shodo is closed from Vandeventer to 39th Street to rebuild the bridges and roadway, and the eastbound exit ramp from 64 on the Shodo is closed permanently. And in both directions, Illinois 64 from Illinois 157 in Greenmount, look for rain restrictions due to some bridge work going on there as well. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Traffic Law Hotline. If you get a speeding ticket, driving while suspended, or DWI, Traffic Law Hotline will give your case personal attention. Call Traffic Law Hotline at 314-TRAFFIC. That's 314-TRAFFIC. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. For today, partly sunny, chance of showers and thunderstorms late this afternoon, a high in the mid-70s. This evening, breezy, partly cloudy, a chance of showers with a low in the mid-40s. Thursday, breezy, cooler, partly cloudy with a high in the mid-50s. Thursday evening, colder, mostly clear with a low in the lower 30s. Then on Friday, mostly sunny, but it'll be deceiving because the high will only be in the upper 40s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 43 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 43 as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Are you hungry? You need to go to Sweetie Pies, 4270 Manchester, 9481 West Florissant. Fried chicken wing, beef liver, baked chicken, pork chops. Mmm!
Everything good that you want to eat. Sweetie Pies, 4270 Manchester. Brand new location. Check them out. Makes you want to kiss your mama.
I'm Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me from 2 to 4 every Monday through Friday afternoon on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. And stay tuned for today's solutions with David Lenihan from 4 to 6.
You want your preschooler to be ready for school. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center is ready to help you prepare your preschooler not only for school, but also for life. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center is an outreach of Trinity Tabernacle, Assembly of God in Bridgeton. Your child, age 2 to 4, receives a non-denominational Bible curriculum with Bible stories, songs, arts and crafts, plus lessons in numbers, science, arts, and phonics, to help prepare him or her for kindergarten. Your child will also grow personally, socially, educationally, and spiritually every day as a unique individual created by God. Call Christine at 314-291-8839 to learn more about Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center and to register your child. Open Monday through Friday from 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center, 11950 Mark Twain Drive in Bridgeton, 314-291-8839. Serving the community since 1979.
You're listening to the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown on AM 920 WGNU.
This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
I heard he sang a good song. I heard he had a style. And so I came to see him and listen for a while. And there he was, his young wife, stranger to my eyes.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. 454-0400 is my phone number. And, you know, sometimes I feel like I'm just a little hard on Boy George. A little hard on him. Paul Fay. Cheerleader at Yale. And your daddy's the vice president, head of the CIA, and you're a cheerleader with an substance abuse problem. Life must have been kind of hard. I'm sure there just weren't enough firecrackers out there to address all of his issues. Maybe we just need to understand that now that he is in the White House, we're the frogs. We're the frogs. Ooh, 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Here's what you need to be demanding of your television media. Here's what you need to be making them say with regard to this sale. Because we hear that all the time, it's Dubai-based. What we don't hear enough is the fact that this is a company that is owned by the government of Dubai. Some people have reported that it is state-owned. But you need to also understand that a provision that was passed by Congress as part of the national, feel me on this, as part of the National Defense Authorization Act for fiscal year 1993
requires that there is an additional 45 days of review if the person buying the company is controlled by or acting on behalf of a foreign government, and that the acquisition could result in control of a person engaged in interstate commerce in the U.S. that could affect the national security of the U.S. Is it, could it be any clearer? There was supposed to be an additional 45-day investigation. And George W. Bush, the cheerleader, the non-varsity cheerleader at Yale, a boy cheerleader at Yale. Wow. But the non-varsity cheerleader at Yale, boy George, looks us into the face and he says, "Trust me. Trust me. I know what I'm doing." Huh? There has been no incident in your life that has ever demonstrated that you've known what you're doing about anything. Name one. Not your grades. Not your performance at during the when you were part of the National Guard. Not your time as a businessman. Not your time as a governor. Nothing you've done has demonstrated that you know how to do anything. And you're telling me to trust you on this. Huh. 454-0400 is my phone number. And if that's not good enough for you, if boy George saying trust me is not good enough, look, let's see who Fox Network digs up and drags out to tell us to trust them. Oh, yeah. Dick Morris, you know him, the guy and the prostitute, that guy. He says, "There are many things that the Bush administration does that I do not approve of, but the one thing I trust them on is the war on terror." Huh? Huh? Whoo, 454-0400. So, you know, trust Dick. Dick Morris, boy George, you pick. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Hi, Diaz.
Good morning.
This morning I was looking at the news, and guess who is going to go to Vashon High School to speak to our kids?
Well, why don't you save this for the school watch? Okay? Call us on the school watch. Hold that thought. Hold that thought.
Okay.
All right. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
Yes.
Hi. I guess I want to talk about Africa. Of course, from my understanding, you've been there several times, and I'm sure you'll be going back, and I'm personally trying to get a trip over there as well. But I guess all this alludes to just what you were talking about, the economy and what this man in the White House is basically doing to this country. He's trying to destroy it. There is no doubt. And what really concerns me is once that happened, we as black people in America are going to be in grave danger. Because I realize we are living in the land of our oppressors, and we are living amongst the children of those people who did that vile, devilish thing to us and still will not admit to the wickedness that they have done to us. And it just gets back to Dave Chappelle when he told us to get our Africa tickets. Liz, I believe within the next 5 to 10 years there will be a mass exodus of black people out of America. What do you think about that?
I think if things keep going the way that they're going, there's going to be a mass exodus of a lot of folks out of America. And people of African descent in particular. These are These are huge things going on. Minister Farrakhan has gotten into some heat for some words that he said when he was on the State of the Black Union the other day. He was speaking metaphorically, and he talked about how America has is on fire. And the evidence of that is the fire of Katrina, the fire of this illegal war. America is on fire. And then he said, we should let it burn. And there's been a great deal of controversy about that, and I hope to speak on that a little bit more and a little later in the show. But I find it interesting that a pastor, a minister, cannot speak metaphorically of this country being on fire without being attacked. If I had a nickel for every time that a minister said that the world was on fire, we'd all be wealthy people. I guess my point is that there are serious problems in this country, and they're born out of the policies, they're born out of the practices, and they're born out of hatred and unfinished business that's hundreds and hundreds of years old. And no good can come of that until it's addressed. No good can come of it.
I agree with you, Liz. And the way things are, if they have not been addressed by now, they will not be addressed. It's just mind-boggling. The wickedness that is going on with these people is. I want to ask you a question. Quick question, Liz. Do you believe in witchcraft?
Do I believe in witchcraft?
Yes.
Mm-mm. No.
I'll tell you, I do. Mm-hmm. Because for people to. It would have to be some type of spell for people to believe this man and to believe that this country.
Oh, I think that if you can believe that a hatred can last for hundreds of years, I think that you can believe that a certain other type of ideology can last for hundreds of years. There are people that will always put their trust and faith in people like George W. Bush. They will always put their trust and faith in that because they've been taught to do. You know, why aren't white women upset and out of their minds about clubs by their husbands and sons and brothers and uncles and nephews that say that they can't come in because their bodies carry ovaries? So, I mean, no, people can believe stuff that's crazy without witchcraft. Gotta roll.
It's a demonic mindset.
Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Stay with me.
You don't know how you met me, you don't know why you can't turn around and say goodbye. All you know is when I'm with you, I make you free and swim through your veins like a fish in the sea. I'm singing, follow me, everything is alright. I'll be the one to tuck you in at night. And if you want to leave, I can guarantee you won't find nobody else like me.
This edition of the Global News Update can be heard in its entirety next Wednesday in the 6:45 time slot.
You've been listening to the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown on AM 920 WGNU.
Are you hungry? You need to go to Sweetie Pies, 4270 Manchester, 9481 West Florissant. Fried chicken wing, beef liver, baked chicken, pork chops, everything good that you want to eat. Sweetie Pies, 4270 Manchester, brand new location. Check them out. Makes you want to kiss your mama.
She's not feeling well again, doctor.
Well, she's a kid.
So?
Kids get sick.
She gets so many infections.
Stop worrying.
I want to, but I'm scared.
If your child is repeatedly sick, it may be PI, primary immunodeficiency, a defect of the immune system.
Something's wrong.
It'll be all right.
It may not be all right. Talk to us about PI. If you don't know what's wrong, you can't make it right. The Jeffrey Modell Foundation. Visit us at info4pi.org or call 1-866-INFO4-PI.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears. Where else?
Where else are you going to get your refrigerators, your stoves, your washers, your dryers, and the best customer service in town? You're going to go to Sears at Union and Natural Bridge. That's right. Sears. Get your shop on. Jerome Williams is the owner. When you get to Sears, this is Liz Brown. Tell him I told you to.
You're listening to the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown on AM 920 WGNU.
The struggle for fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I've got my own faith. I've got to show my faith. It's getting lucid for so long. Freedom is mine today. I've got to step out on faith. It's time to show my faith. Procrastination had me down. Look what I had found. Strength, courage, and wisdom is inside of me all along.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I'm Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz. How are you feeling?
I'm outstanding. How are you, Bob?
Okay, Liz. I'm just calling about for your last caller, and a little bit I don't agree with him. I'm thinking of a stay and fight resolution. Let me tell you what I mean by that. Back when I was a teenager, I can remember this politician getting on TV named McCarthy and standing up at the podium and balling his fist and said, what we're going to do is we're going to send all them blacks, we're going to make it difficult for them so they all want to go back to Africa. You remember that?
No, I don't. I wasn't. I don't think I was here then.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he was McCarthy. And he said that was his main objective, to send all of them. He wanted all of them back to Africa so the United States can be peaceful with the Caucasian people. I thought you might have remembered that, but that's why I don't agree. I guess that stuck in my mind sitting on TV, you know, watching it on TV. And when he said that, he's doing just what McCarthy said.
Well, no, because
I can see he's going to visit like you did.
Well,
we all should visit our roots.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, whether somebody says you should leave or whether somebody says you should stay, you still make up your own mind of what you want to do. You evaluate. You don't stay and fight because somebody tells you that something like that. You don't stay for that reason. You stay for other reasons. Certainly not. You don't stay and do anything based upon the words of a racist. You make up your own mind and you make up your own decision about why you want to go or if you want to go. And I think it is just as legitimate to stay as it is for people to go. And both decisions should be appreciated for just that. A person who I admire in ways that I can't even articulate, Randall Robinson. Brilliant man, brilliant man is the reason why the apartheid movement took the direction that the anti-apartheid movement took the direction it did in the United States of America. He suffered great losses. He fought harder than most people of African descent have ever fought, specifically in terms of an issue for black people. And he said, you know what? No more. I am going, I am moving, and he's not in this country anymore. And I admire him for that decision. I admire the heck out of him for that. He lives in peace amongst his people, and he doesn't have the weight of this country. I was talking to some friends of mine. I went to a basketball game. And I was struck with, when we were all struck with, we had this wonderful basketball experience for the babies, a division championship. And then while we were there, we experienced racism. And when we were leaving, it was like, you can't get away from this. The weight of this is it's always with you. So anybody that says, I'm not going to take the weight of this anymore, I'm getting out of here, God bless you.
Right,
you know, it ain't about
right.
what some racist says you should do or shouldn't do. Come on.
Right. And you know, Liz, and it shows that racism is everywhere. Now, let me.
I got to roll. But thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. And I want to give you all an opportunity. Because, you know, everybody was watching the state of black America and all of that. Going to those events, listening to those events, it's always a good thing.
you know, to get new perspectives or get perspectives underscored or just to be in a place where you're hearing some good information. I want to invite you to the National Forum of Black Public Administrators in conjunction with the University of Missouri and the St. Louis Associated Black Collegians. There's going to be a town hall meeting, the role of minorities in government and business, and the featured speaker will be Congresswoman Maxine Waters, and also I will be there to speak. This is going to be Wednesday, March 22nd from 6:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. You can call 436-8721. That's 436-8721. Come on out, listen to, be part of a town hall meeting, the role of minorities in government and business. Also, Senator Rita Days will be there as well. You need that. Put it on your calendar. Wednesday, March 22nd, 6:30 to 7:30. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. We're doing good. Says Boy George, we are doing good. Life is good. It reminds me of my family and I just had such a fun time doing this when we would watch Star Trek. There was one particular Star Trek episode where, because we just, you didn't get to see people of African descent on television very often, so when you saw them, it was just like, oh, Call grandma. There's black folks on television. And there was one character that played a scientist on Star Trek, one episode. And he went mad. And the line that he would use and my family would use when folks were acting crazy was, "I'm great. Kirk's great. We're all great." And the character was just going crazier and crazier and crazier. And that's kind of what I'm thinking with Boy George is, "I'm great. America's great. We're all doing great. This is great out there." No, it's not. You're crazy. No, it's not. You're crazy. Whoo! George W. Bush says it. Everything's fine. Everything's fine. Whoo, but it's not. People are anxious. People are hungry. People are unemployed. People are being laid off. People can't get hospital care. People can't get Medicare. People can't get prescription drug benefits. No, it's not great. We're at war, for Christ's sake. How could, for Christ's sake, we're at war. And he's saying we're doing fine. What are you talking about? We're doing fine, he says. Huh? Huh? Whoo, Kirk's great. I'm great. We're all great. No, you're nuts. You're nuts. Jeannie, good morning.
Hi there. I agree with you entirely about George Bush.
Nut job.
Not only that, but that shock and awe business.
Yes.
Is he going to do the same thing to Iran? Is he going to get more American boys killed for nothing? And what's he doing to us senior citizens?
Yes, ma'am.
With this drug care stuff. You know, you can't make heads or tails out of it, and they try to make you look illiterate when actually you know they're trying to take your money.
Jeannie, that is such a really good point.
I thought, how crazy is this? You've got to pay the government $38 to belong to it. And then they're going to give you some drug coverage, and one medicine costs more than the other one, and in another plan it costs less, and blah, blah, blah. I am so sick of it that I haven't signed up, and I don't plan on it.
And you are not
alone. And by the way, I have black people living next door to me, and they're the nicest people I know. And that isn't all. I'm white.
I think we figured that out. Thanks, Jeannie.
Okay, bye.
All right. 454-0400 is my phone number. I think that her point about trying to make people feel stupid, I think that is one of the things that one of the unintended consequences, or maybe intended consequences, to make people feel stupid that they don't understand it, so they don't say anything. That's true. It's absolutely true.
Mac.
Good morning, Miss Brown. How you doing this beautiful day?
I'm outstanding.
I'd like to know, could I put out a Sarah alert on your show? I'm looking for a queer hun, Shaney. If you see him, would you please tell him to call me?
I'm sorry, I won't be returned. I will not. Don't put me in the middle of that. It's not my day to watch him. Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. George Bush's approval ratings are 34%. Last time they were 34%, we got 9/11. Duck America. Duck. We'll be back with the School Watch. Stay with me.
All over the world, Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember? I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution. The air will be brighter. Stop the sun.
The hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble. More and more people who need help but can't find it.
Issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. It was a presidential detour.
It's important for the people of Afghanistan to recognize that we're here at by mutual consent.
President Bush making an unexpected stop in Afghanistan. His first visit to the nation, he sat down with President Karzai and shook hands with U.S. troops. Next stop, India. And the reception may not be quite as warm. That's an anti-Bush demonstration in New Delhi. A former prime minister says the rally sends a clear message to the president, go home. But the president has a clear message of his own for this trip.
He's hoping to negotiate a deal that we should clarify is about civilian nuclear power, energy to be used in the economy and commerce and to promote this government and this democracy here in India, not military nuclear power, not bomb-making power.
ABC's Jessica Yellen in New Delhi. The president could return to Washington to find an extension of the Patriot Act waiting for him on his desk. The Senate could vote on it today. Passage is just about guaranteed in the House. A car bomb explodes in Baghdad, just one of a series of attacks today on that city. At least 26 people are dead.
In the last day or so, it appears that most of the violence and bombing has been targeted at Shia populations, although there have been a couple incidents aimed at Sunnis, the bombing of a mosque, and then on Tuesday, the bodies of 9 thought to be Sunnis were found. They had been shot dead.
ABC's Jake Tapper in Baghdad. The big cleanup is now underway in the Big Easy a day after Mardi Gras.
This is the first time in its 150-year history that Mardi Gras in New Orleans has had a corporate sponsor. Today, that sponsorship is put to the test. Glad Products Company has donated 150,000 trash bags to the cleanup effort. Today, those bags will be filled with the cans, cups, and countless strings of Mardi Gras beads tossed aside by yesterday's crowd.
That's ABC's Jim Ryan in New Orleans. And this is ABC News.
If you have allergies, discover new Allerverse Citrus Burst. The instant it touches your tongue, it bursts into action. And you know allergy relief is on its way. New Allerverse Citrus Burst is non-drowsy 24-hour relief in a great-tasting, quick-dissolving tablet. Get the allergy relief you need to keep going. Try new quick-dissolving Allerverse Citrus Burst. Experience the relief. Use as directed.
Want to get to the next level of your career? Earn a bachelor's or a master's degree at University of Phoenix. It's education designed for busy working adults. In most cases, you can earn your degree in 2 to 3 years. At over 170 campuses, they offer programs in business, technology, nursing, education, and more. Call University of Phoenix at 1-800-853-4433. Offer not valid in Tennessee. Programs vary by campus. That's 1-800-853-4433.
Someone is really rich today. There was one winning ticket sold in last night's Mega Millions jackpot. It's worth more than $267 million. It was bought somewhere in Ohio.
Somewhere there.
Well, there's a good chance that George Clooney could go home with at least one Oscar when the Academy Awards are handed out this Sunday. The movie he directed, Good Night and Good Luck, has 6 nominations. This is a song from the soundtrack. Clooney is also nominated for Best Supporting Actor for his role in Syriana. And that, of course, made him a given for ABC's Barbara Walters and her pre-Oscar special. She asked him about the criticism he got for his stand on the Iraq War.
Were you very upset when you were called a traitor and unpatriotic?
Yes, I was very upset because I grew up a patriot, and I am a patriot, you know. I grew up a liberal in Kentucky, but to me the idea of questioning your government was not just your right, but was in fact your duty.
Specialist tonight, I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
It's time for a WGNU News update. This report is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts. I'm Peyton Colston reporting. In the news this morning, the Missouri Supreme Court has upheld a law requiring a 24-hour waiting period before a woman can obtain an abortion. Planned Parenthood of the St. Louis region challenged the law, which was passed in 2003, calling the waiting period unconstitutional. The High Court unanimously rejected claims yesterday that the law is too vague. The justices also cited a U.S. Supreme Court ruling in 1992 that upheld a 24-hour waiting period in Pennsylvania. In other news, Governor Matt Blunt will meet with students and teachers at the Vashon Williams 9th Grade Academy this morning. St. Louis Public Schools Superintendent Craig Williams set up the academy at the former Williams Middle School in January and moved the entire Vashon High School freshman class there, along with their teachers and administrator. Blunt will discuss ways to promote student achievement, including his plans to convene a math and science education summit in the spring. At St. Louis University, researchers are studying the effects of a new avian flu vaccine. Dr. Robert Belshi of the SLU Vaccine Center says there's a need for a bird flu vaccine because there have been 3 worldwide pandemics in the last century from new influenza strains that started in birds. He says the new vaccine is different than previous vaccines because it includes a chemical that stimulates immune response, which researchers hope will allow the vaccine dose to be lowered. To take part in the study or to learn more about it, call 314-977-6333. And finally, Missouri Secretary of State Robin Carnahan should serve as a role model for other women in her battle with breast cancer. That's according to Dr. Jovita Orawari, a breast surgeon oncologist at the St. Louis Breast Cancer Institute, who applauds Carnahan for seeking medical attention immediately after detecting a lump. Statistics show that breast cancer has a 90% survival rate if the cancer is caught at an early stage. That's WGNU News for this hour, brought to you by Napa Auto Parts. The Napa Hat Swap has begun. Just bring any old hat into your local Napa Auto Parts store, and they'll swap it for a brand new Napa racing hat. Napa, get the good stuff. I'm Peyton Colston with WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. Southbound 61 is closed at US 67 in Festus due to an accident with injuries. Only the northbound lane is also one lane of the northbound traffic is also blocked. Traffic is light in that area at this hour. Southbound 55 at 270-70 interchange in Troy, Illinois. There's an accident reported involving a school bus. It is off the roadway. There is no lane blockage and no delays in the area at this hour. Southbound 270 at Olive, there's a disabled vehicle. Right lane is blocked. A motorist assist is on the way. Eastbound 44 at Merrimack River Bridge and 270 looks lighter than normal. Northbound 55 from Merrimack Bottom to Carondelet, no problems report. Northbound 270 is slow on either side of 44. Eastbound 40 from 270 to 170 looks good. Eastbound 70 from 370 to 270 is flowing freely. Westbound 270 from Chain Rocks Bridge all the way into 170 is on the move at this hour. Eastbound 70 at K and 79 is slow. Westbound 5570 from 64 onto the PSB. Look for slow traffic there. Westbound 64 to 5570 split. Look for delays there as well. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at Laclede's Landing looks good. Northbound Route 3 from 8th Street onto the approaches of the Poplar Street Bridge. You can expect a little slow traffic there as well. Southbound Pennsylvania, Pagedale Industrial Court. The right lane is blocked due to a water main work going on at this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. New, the Illinois Lottery's Veterans Cash, 100% of the proceeds support health care services and disability programs for Illinois veterans. Play Veterans Cash today, because when you play, everybody wins. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Friday. Partly sunny day, a chance of showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. High in the mid-70s this evening, partly cloudy, breezy, a chance of showers again with a low around the 40s. For Thursday, breezy, cooler, partly cloudy, high in the mid-50s. Thursday evening, look forward to mostly clear skies, low in the lower 30s. And then on Friday, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 40s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 44 degrees under partly cloudy skies. Lambert Fields reporting 45. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. Up next, it's St. Louis Schools Watch with Peter Downs and Liz Brown right here on AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, stop the listener. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, stop the listener. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
In this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
St. Louis Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly in-depth look at developments affecting the education of our children.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the St. Louis Schools Watch. I'm here with Peter Downs. Peter, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
How are you?
I'm fine this morning. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Okay, let's start with this breaking story. This, I guess we can put in the category of I'm not surprised, but it is huge, and it is something that people really, really, really need to be up in arms about. And it also, I think it speaks to the pattern of deceit and deception that this administration engages in. I'm talking about the school board. The secrecy, I mean, it's almost, what's the word I'm looking for, Cheney-esque. in the secrecy and the stubbornness and the wrongfulness of their actions. Talk to us about what hasn't been told to us.
Okay, I have two sources who insist on confidentiality, but two sources who independently have told me that part of the strategic plan has not been revealed yet and will not be revealed until after the April school board election.
So let's just talk about that little piece for one second. Let's talk about that. The strategic plan is a plan that tell us what the strategic plan is.
The strategic plan is laying out all of the initiatives that the superintendent would like to see started in the next 5 years. All the changes in the school district he wants to see done in the next 5 years.
And this is Craig Williams, the $300,000 man who's never been a superintendent anyplace else in the world before this gig. And this so-called strategic plan, was there parental input into this?
Not really. He had some meetings last year where he presented a vague idea of K-8 schools. Just say, we're looking at K-8 schools. We're looking at community clusters.
So,
and then wanted some input, and that was it.
Then let me ask the questions this way. All of the things that are listed in this strategic plan, were there any specific meetings held on any of the things in the strategic plan?
No.
So no meetings with notes. So that means no meetings with parents. That means no meetings with teachers on the specific elements that are in this plan.
Right, not as far as I know. I've heard from leaders of the teachers union, who again, there are some general discussions, and some of their concerns are reflected in a way, but nothing specifically about specific programs.
Okay.
Same thing I know, for example, he mentions parent patrol district wide.
Mm-hmm.
There were meetings with parents because Ashland parents wanted a parent patrol at their school, and that's how it started, and mm-hmm. he later expanded it with LaShawn and all that. So the idea started with parents, but it was not directed in terms of a strategy for the district.
So, and not only did we have a plan where virtually no parents have participated in the crafting of it, and this is a plan for all the kids and all the teachers in the district. We have a plan where virtually no teachers have been consulted or participated in the process of it, let alone public being invited, participating in the crafting and the creation of this so-called strategic plan. That doesn't sound very strategic when the major players of the plan were not involved in the creation of it. That's just my say on that. That doesn't seem very strategic at all. And there's also been some front steps and some back steps on it. Even the stuff that was in the plan, they backed away from immediately.
Yes.
It's almost like when it came to the light, when the public finally got a chance to see this after they've spent thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to put this together, the public sees it, and when the public sees it, it don't like it.
Right. Right. A couple of things. Mandatory uniforms district-wide. A lot of parents and students didn't like that, so they backed away and said, we're sticking with the existing policy, which is each school will decide. Mandatory year-round school for 7th, 8th, and 9th grade is in the plan, and they backed away and said, no, it's just summer school for 9th graders who didn't pass all their classes.
And that's what happens when you try to do something Cheney-esque in the dark and don't let the public participate in it. When the public sees it, it's like, no, this is nothing like what we wanted. So it seems that the Craig Williams' team has learned from the fact that they've introduced stuff and the public doesn't like it and they've had to backtrack. Now you've been told that there is this other part of the strategic plan that is not going to be released until after the election. Tell us what this plan is. And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, it is just it's a shocker. Talk to us.
All right. This part of the plan is to set up a second school district. To set up a district of charter schools and to appoint a board that would be independent school board to operate those schools.
So let me get this straight. Craig Williams would appoint another board of people.
Well, he would get the school board to appoint an initial board.
Okay, then let's back up. Francis Slay would appoint another school board. This school board would have our money, would have access to our money.
Yes.
Okay. This school board would be not elected by anybody.
Correct.
This school board would be in control of teaching public school kids.
Yes.
And this school board would have no requirement for testing standards?
No, they do. Charter schools do have to take the MAP test.
Okay.
And the results are included in the evaluation of the public school district.
This school district would not have to have accredited teachers?
Correct.
This school district doesn't have to follow practically any of the rules that have been established for regular public schools.
Right. Most of the state rules are waived for charter schools.
So in essence, what Craig Williams is trying to do, and they don't want to tell us this till after the election because they know that they couldn't get any of their candidates elected, which is so cynical and so devious and so dishonest. What they're trying to do is to create this what we've talked about before, Peter, this enclave to get white folks back into the city of St. Louis. Because think of the advantages of having a charter school district, the right. advertising campaign that you can have for a charter school district.
Well, you know, some of the advertising already for charter schools is a private school education.
With public school money.
With public school, basically, you know, a free private school education, what they call it.
And so they could put these charter schools any place that they wanted to.
They can put them anywhere. And I believe Missouri law, like California, allows charter schools to pick and choose who they admit. They don't have to admit anybody who applies.
So they could create these white enclaves or these enclaves based upon economics.
Based on economics.
Economics, regardless of race, but based upon economics. They could then go to the private sector and ask of them something that the private sector wouldn't do for the public schools, right?
Right. Right. And donate money to our school.
Donate money to our school because the private sector has already said, you know what, the St. Louis Public Schools, as it's being run by Francis Slay and Darnetta Klingstell and, I mean, Darnetta Shamel and Jim Slay, the way that it is being run by these people, the private sector has said, we're not going to give you all a dime because you've squandered the money that you have. So now they can go to the private sector and say, look, we don't have anything to do with the way that they're running that old horrible, horrible public school system. Come to us, give us your money, because we're going to have these other schools over here, and this is the future of education.
Right, right. And you know, the charter schools, they don't even have to be as blatant as to select kids by race or economics, because what they can say, all right, we're only going to take kids who have, you know, say middle school, only take kids who scored above a certain level on the MAP the last year, kids who had no absences previous year in school, kids who are not involved, you know, who don't mouth off, you know, who don't get into trouble, who do not have any special ed requirements. They can set requirements like that, which public schools, of course, can't, because public schools are supposed to educate everybody. And so say, all right, those kids who are the highest academic performers, do not get into any trouble, do not need any extra services, those are the kids we'll take.
And what is the, I mean, this goes beyond saying we want to have a charter school. They're saying that they want to have a charter school district.
A whole system of charter schools.
A whole system. So what does that entail? What are some of the things that people need to be made aware of the significance of this? This is huge, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's something I really just got confirmed. I haven't thought about everything it entails.
Uh-huh.
But it's, we're talking about segregated public education again.
That's what we're talking about. And we're talking about segregated from the point of finances, segregated from the point of superior, inferior, because here's what's going to happen. They're going to cherry pick out white kids. Is what mm-hmm. conceivably could happen.
Yes.
Cherry pick out white kids, take the... The public schools are pay for everything in the charter schools. The money for charter schools come from public schools.
Yes.
So as this charter school district would in fact suck the life's blood from the public school system. It's a perfect system for a person who is a racist.
Yes.
It's a perfect school for someone who is an elitist.
Yes.
It's a perfect school for somebody who is a politician who was trying to get a certain type of people to move back into the city of St. Louis and people who couldn't afford to send their kids to to other schools, private schools.
Right.
It's a tool of all of these people.
Yeah, I want to add, so I want to call to mind the audit that Claire McCaskill did of charter schools in St. Louis and Kansas City a couple years ago. And one thing she found is that there are no reporting requirements. They operate in secret. Mm. We don't even know what they do with their money. Right? They aren't filing financial reports with the state. We do know that some of them have people who ran off mm-hmm. with thousands of dollars.
Yes, they did.
Tens of thousands of dollars, mm-hmm. actually. But, you know, that's the other thing of charter schools. Is this whole new school district would operate in the dark outside of public school scrutiny.
Cheney-esque. So, and then the other piece of this also, Peter, is charter schools haven't done well. We're creating an entire district when the body of knowledge and the body of information out there about the how effective charter schools says that they're not.
Right. Right. I mean, we keep hearing the language from this board and superintendent about using, data-driven reform methods and proven results. And this is something that clearly has been proven not to work.
And what's interesting is that just to show how everybody is trying, the deviousness and the willingness to be so dishonest to the public that they serve, there's a metamorphosis going on in terms of Jim Buford, Jim Slay, in that it wasn't too long ago that Jim Buford went up to Jefferson City to advocate on behalf of charter schools, didn't he? He went up and testified in Jefferson City for the Betty Thompson bill.
Yeah, which is a voucher bill, really.
It's the same concept. It's the same concept of taking public money and putting it in the hands of people who don't want anything to do with the public system but want to get into private schools. It's another way to suck money out of public schools and put it in the hands of people that don't care about public schools or what happens to kids in public schools. And yet, during this election cycle, we now hear Jim Buford saying, I guess I was out of it that day when I went up there. I don't believe that anymore, and that was less than a year ago. I mean, he's backing away from that.
On the election trail at forums, he says he opposes charter schools and vouchers. He says we have to fix public schools first.
Despite the fact that he testified on behalf of them a year ago.
Yeah, he was standing up on a podium with Matt Blunt and Vince Schemel at rallies for it.
Mm. So it goes back to the fact that this component of the strategic plan, the desire to create a new school district of charter schools with a new school board appointed by Francis Slay, unelected and accountable to no one, I bet they want to keep that in secret. And I guess that speaks to why it's so important of who's on the school board, because no one that cares about what happens to our kids would ever come up with an idea like this that takes so much, that first of all, it's unproven. It's been proven wrong. Proven wrong. Take an idea that's been proven wrong and pump public money into it and hurt our kids in the process of it. This is horrible, isn't it?
Yes, yes. And, we have no idea yet how many schools you're talking about.
And if they've already, yeah. and if it's
but clearly many, if they're talking about a system,
and if it's already part of the strategic plan, that means that somebody has already been paid to sit down and craft out a separate charter school district. I suspect that there are people that have already been contacted to be on the board of the school board of this separate charter school district within the city of St. Louis. This has already been planned, and they could conceivably use some of those schools that they closed. Although there were few of them closed on the south side, they're not going to open on the north side. But conceivably, they could use some of the buildings that have been closed on as a result of Bill Roberti.
Well, they could turn over school buildings they're using now. They could turn them over and convert them into charter schools.
This is horrible. This is absolutely horrible. In terms of parents having any idea about this? Obviously, nobody has any idea about this because
Nobody has any idea. It's certainly not in this
slick
20-page book that they put out that's supposed to summarize the strategic plan. I don't know if school board members have been informed in any larger sense. A couple I've talked to have...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
The couple I've talked to have said that, you know, that it has not been presented to them yet.
And that's no comfort and no consolation because the fact of the matter is a lot of this stuff is not presented to the school board members. It's just done. And right. And speaking of which, there's even some confusion on from school board members on what they voted on.
On what they voted on,
talk
yes.
Talk to
yes,
us about
yes.
that.
Essentially... Bill Purdy and Veronica O'Brien insist that they did not vote to approve this whole laundry list of things that Craig Williams wants. Craig Williams said, hey, I handed you a whole book, you know, and that was included. You know, I handed you a whole book the day before the meeting. And Purdy and O'Brien basically said, you know, that thing was stamped draft. It wasn't stamped as a proposal for us to vote on. And nobody ever mentioned that that's what we were voting on. You know, the motion was on your presentation, which was on changing school assignments.
I read the email that Veronica sent to Craig Williams. It was amusing, but frightening at the same time that she asked him when we were going to vote on the strategic plan, and his response back to her was,
"You already did.
You already did."
Yeah.
Madness. Just yes. Absolute yes. Madness. We're going to take a break, folks. I'm Liz Brown. I'm here with Peter Downs. We're talking about the St. Louis Schools Watch. We have, of course, much more frightening information awaiting you after this break.
Good morning. Who's this? This is Dontra Busby calling you from McLean School, Jackie Gray Room 209. Thank you, Miss Liz, for the gift from Africa that you gave to everyone. We are watching a movie. The movie is called Roots. In the movie, the setting is in a village called Jufurate. And Roots was voted by Alex Haley. Miss Liz, we had our awards day program, and I received an achievement trophy. Have a good summer. Dr. Busby from 209 for Dignity. Reign supreme. Love you.
Love you. Thank you.
What a wonderful world.
You've been listening to the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown on AM 920 WGNU.
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Accounttaps. Southbound 270 at Olive, all roadways are reopened after an earlier stall. Eastbound Page at 170, look for a disabled tractor trailer. The right lane is blocked at this hour. Eastbound 44 from Merrimack River Bridge to 270, looks good this hour. Northbound 55 from Merrimack Bottom to Carondelet, no problems to report. Northbound 270 at Tesson Ferry and 44, look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 at 170 and Hanley, look for slow traffic as well. Southbound US 61 at 67 in Festus is closed due to an accident. Only one lane of the northbound is also blocked, and traffic is light in that area at this hour. Eastbound 70 at K and 79, look for slow traffic. Westbound 40 from a cause on the Hanley, look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 from 141 to Mason, look for delays this hour. Eastbound 40 from Lindbergh to Spady is blocked as well. Westbound 5570 from Illinois 203 onto the Poplar Street Bridge, look for slow traffic. Westbound 64 at Bow Avenue and the 5570 split, expect delays. Westbound Martin Luther King between the Illinois Bank and Cleese Landing, no problems to report there. Northbound Route 3 from 8th Street onto the approaches of the Poplar Street Bridge is slow. Southbound Pennsylvania near Pagedale Industrial Court, their right lane is blocked due to a water main. And 367 at Comet, there's a report of an accident. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Accounttemps, the world's leader in specialized financial staffing. When you need temporary accounting or financial help, call Accounttemps. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Friday. Partly sunny today, a chance of showers and thunderstorms this afternoon with a high in the mid-70s. This evening, breezy, partly cloudy, a chance of showers, low in the mid-40s. Thursday, breezy, partly cloudy with a high in the mid-50s. Thursday evening, mostly clear with a low in the lower 30s. Then on Friday, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 40s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU under partly cloudy skies, we have 44 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting 45. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call with the St. Louis Schools Watch with Peter Downs. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Yesterday, these guys I know offered me some weed, and I smoked it. Then today, they said I should try to outrun Tick-Tick, the lumberyard dog. I'm now pretty sure I can't. Good Tick-Tick! I'm an idiot.
Live above the influence. Above them, above weed. And check out AboveTheInfluence.com.
Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
You're listening to the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown on AM 920 WGNU.
The people, the issues,
good morning,
affecting your life,
Miss Lee,
right here, right now, on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
The Clee School, second grade, room 209. Thank you, Miss Lee, for coming to our classroom. And thank you for the two African necklaces. Miss Lee, school is almost out. I'm going to spend the summer with my family. I hope you have another great time in Africa. Miss Lee, thank you for being you, and you're my hero. Thank you for teaching us about Africa. Everyone misses you. In room 209, Miss Lee, yesterday I received two trophies, one for perfect attendance for all the year, and one for high achievement. Have a fantastic summer. This is Carl Winston in room 209, where dignity reigns supreme. Love you.
Love you, Carl.
This is the St. Louis City Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly feature of the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Welcome back. This is Liz Brown. I'm here with Peter Downs. And Peter, you and I were talking off the air about the devastation that's affected the, just in a very short period of time, the devastation that's hit the St. Louis public schools, and that it seems like, I was saying, you know, when Hammonds was in office, I was on him, too. They wouldn't take my calls. They were mad at me because I was always on him. Bill Purdy was mad at me because I was always on them. But what's different now, Peter, is that we're fighting for human rights issues as opposed, we can't even get to a lot of the educational piece because we're fighting for fundamental human rights issues with our kids. Talk to us about Bunch School.
Okay, yeah. I talked to a parent of a student at Bunch last night who just can't wait to, she's going to pull her kids out of the district. And she said at Bunch, the kids cannot even use the restroom. They keep the restrooms locked so that kids can't use them.
And Bunch is a what school? A middle school?
It's a magnet middle school, international studies.
A magnet middle school where they keep the bathroom doors locked. Her child had to bring a note from the doctor.
Her child brought a note from the doctor
and the
saying
note
he has to be able to use the toilet during the day. And they still wouldn't let him use the restrooms.
This is human rights stuff. This is the place that this district has been taken to, that we, along with fighting for books that for Johnny to read, we're fighting for a simple human rights thing. How can you tell a child that they can't use the bathroom? How can you lock a door and keep babies from you? And this isn't a magnet school, for Christ's sake. If this is happening in a magnet school, what's happening in the other schools?
Well, exactly. Exactly. And I'd actually like to move to another school for a couple minutes, another middle school, Stevens Middle School, because I talked to a mother there, and there have been a group of parents who have been protesting that school. They've passed out leaflets. They've met with anybody who would listen to them because of the violence in that school. This mother, her son was hit in the eye several times. So he ended up having to go to a specialist at Children's Hospital for treatment. And she just moved into St. Louis last year from the county. And she said, I don't send my child to school to get beat up. But kids are getting beaten up. Teachers are getting assaulted. She went there and saw a kid beaten bloody by other kids. And the principal, according to her, another parent talked to the principal, denies that any of it is happening. They have not filed any reports of these incidents with downtown. And they tell the parents, oh, no, you didn't see that. That didn't happen. Oh, no, you didn't see it. Oh, no, your kids are lying. That didn't happen.
Human rights issues. We're talking about basic human rights issues that we're not fighting for on behalf of our children. And I submit to you, Peter, that the reason why the principals aren't reporting it, the reason why the principals aren't calling downtown is because they've been told, we don't want to hear any of these reports because we can't afford anything to look bad about our districts.
Oh, I think you probably hit the nail on the head.
And the other piece of it is that we also have to, when we talk about fights, when we talk about the human rights violations of our children, we have to talk about it in the context of overcrowding in schools. We've got to talk about it in the context of principals that are principaling schools that have no experience in doing so or no interest in doing so. We have to talk about it in terms of can't teach for America when you have all of these people out there that are not teachers, have not been trained to be teachers, have no intention of being teachers beyond the payoff of their student loans, and the overcrowding of the schools and the lack of the unhappiness in the entire school district. That's the reason why we're having so many fights in these. You have to put in the context of why there's so many fights taking place.
Right. And that context is important. And the reaction of the district is just completely wrong.
Yes, it is.
Right. You don't fix these things by ignoring them. You don't fix them by cutting out more teachers, making classes bigger.
You don't fix them by, if it is your intention to do right, if it is your intention to make the school district succeed, if it's your intention to make certain that kids learn, you don't fix it by creating a separate charter school district where you can take all the kids that you want and take all the money from the kids who need it and put it into the district for the kids that you want to have education and let the other kids implode.
Right.
You don't do that. Let me get to some of our callers here. Anna. No, that's Regina. Regina?
Yeah?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. I have an issue. I'm a concerned parent.
Yes.
And I have an issue to address with the issue with Stevens. Main concern is the education has been stolen from them, which is the students, because they're not learning anything.
Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right, Anna. You're absolutely right that it's not their future is being stolen from them.
Correct.
They're being put into this petri dish to be experimented upon at the expense of a $300,000 a year. The man makes $25,000 a month, who's never been a superintendent any place in the world.
Right.
They're a petri dish experiment for an incompetent superintendent.
Right. And the education has just been stolen. I mean, they're overcrowded. I mean, they don't have enough teachers. I mean, it's getting outrageous.
Now, I heard you have lots and lots of substitute teachers and very, very few permanent certified teachers there at Stevens.
Correct.
So teachers means that there are different teachers coming in every day.
Correct. There you go. Correct. So you've
talked to the principal. What does the principals tell you?
Same thing, everything. They're doing the best that they can. You know, it's just the same thing. It's being stolen. Their education is just being stolen from them because they're not learning.
Are you registered to vote, Anna?
Yes.
Are you going to vote?
Yes.
I know you are. All right. Thank you, Anna.
Uh huh.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Leroy.
Hey, I just want to make a comment on what I've just heard this morning here. And Liz, thank you very much for this forum here. I'm a recent transplant back to St. Louis. been gone, quite frankly, almost 20 years, 17 and a half years. From Seattle, and I come back home. You know, I can't get too mad. I'm a West Side person who grew up out of the old GM plant, went to old Gunlock, and come back so many years later. I can't get mad. My children going down here to Fort Bell, and I can't get too upset. I mean, the school is pretty decent. I mean, the teachers and them are out there watching the children, but then when I go back to my north side, it's all being done wrong, and these charter schools are just not the right parameters for us to look at to raise our children.
Of course.
And it does take a lot more parental involvement.
It takes a whole lot of things, Leroy.
Yeah.
It takes a school board that gives a darn. It takes a school board that has any education. It takes a superintendent that has been a superintendent before. It takes a whole lot of things. Because if the parents wouldn't have to worry about their children being beaten up all the time if the school board had done right.
I'm not in the most perfect part of South St. Louis. I mean, a lot of the neighborhoods is going through rehab right now. But I do have to give a lot of respect down there for Bell. I'm a teacher out there on the walkie-talkies and looking for kids coming and going. But that's not typical here in the city as a whole.
What school are you talking about?
Fort Bell.
What's Fort Bell?
Fort Bell Elementary.
Frable.
There we go. Frable.
Okay, Frable Elementary.
I'm sorry for
okay.
that. But,
all right.
But, you know, but as I look at the whole picture.
Okay, no,
when
I got
you mentioned William Purdy, Mr. Purdy. You know, I dealt with this man when I graduated high school out of Roosevelt. And he's a hard head to deal with. But we have to have a whole cultural change throughout the entire city.
All right. And I got to roll. Thanks.
All right.
In terms of Frible and other schools, the overall understanding of what's happening in our schools is what, Peter? In terms of safety and security,
it's getting worse. It's getting more dangerous. You know, there are a lot of teachers. Listen, there are a lot of teachers trying hard. But there are a lot of teachers who are getting attacked by students, too, and just giving up. You know, there's a story on Channel 5 News last night quoting a teacher who went in all enthusiastic and working hard with her students, and after the second time she was attacked by a student in the elementary school, this is it.
4540400 is my phone number. 4546609 is my fax. We have to take a break, folks. This is Liz Brown. I'm here with Peter Downs, St. Louis Public Schools Watch. We're going to take a break. We'll be back. Stay with us.
This is good morning, Miss Liz. This is Amir Mahoney calling you from LaCree's School, second grade. From 409, Miss Liz, I had a good time with you. Miss Liz, our class is watching Roots. Kuta Kinte knows his roots. His mother name is Dipper, and his father name is Amaru. Kinte has dignity. Have a good summer. This is Amir Muhammad from room 209, where dignity reigns supreme. Love you.
Love you.
What a wonderful world.
You've been listening to the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown on AM 920 WGNU.
This hour's global news update can be heard in its entirety next Wednesday in the 7:45 time slot.
Are you hungry? You need to go to Sweetie Pies, 4270 Manchester, 9481 West Florissant. Fried chicken wing, beef liver, baked chicken, pork chops, everything good that you want to eat. Sweetie Pies, 4270 Manchester, brand new location. Check them out. Makes you want to kiss your mama.
Is the IRS ruining your life? Are you afraid of losing everything? You can end the despair you feel right now. Get ready to write down an important phone number you're going to need to solve your IRS nightmare. The number is 800-376-9913.
Hello, I'm John Harris, president of J.K. Harris & Company, the nation's largest tax representation firm. IRS problems have a way of ruining every aspect of your life if you let them. Our former IRS agents and tax professionals have successfully negotiated settlements for thousands of our clients, saving them millions of dollars.
According to IRS statistics, the average settlement for accepted offers and compromise was between 12 and 15 cents per tax dollar owed, which means you could qualify to reduce your tax debt by as much as 85%. If you owe the IRS back taxes, call J.K. Harris at 800-376-9913. You may qualify qualify to dramatically reduce your tax debt. Call 800-376-9913. That's 800-376-9913.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
Where else, where else, where else are you going to get a big screen television, a little screen television, a washer, a dryer, a freezer, a dishwasher, a treadmill, tools? You're going to get them at Sears 3425 Union. That's right. I'm telling you, it's the only full-service Sears in the city of St. Louis, the best customer service in town. Jerome Williams is the owner. He will walk you through. He will treat you like a king. He will treat you like a queen. My name is Liz Brown, and when you go to Sears, tell Jerome Williams I told you so.
You're listening to the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown on AM 920 WGNU.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Morning, Miss Liz. This is Casey Marshall calling you from Laclede School, room 209. Miss Liz, I love the African necklace I wore to Red Lobster. I wish I could go with you to Ghana. Miss Liz, you are the best and one of a kind. Miss Liz, this is Casey Marshall from room 209, where dignity reigns supreme.
Hey, baby.
Have a great summer. Love you.
Love you.
This is the St. Louis City Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly feature of the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Welcome back. And, Peter, there's parents are getting together. Parents are trying to make a difference out here and to change what's happening with the school district. What's happening?
Yes, tonight at 6 p.m. at Melanfi School. There's a parent meeting that's in the Shaw neighborhood. It's on the corner of Shaw and Tower Grove.
Mm-hmm.
Half dozen parents from Wilkinson School had gone to the last board meeting with comments about reforming transportation, so kids get home before 6 o'clock at night and parents aren't waiting on the phone for half an hour to find out why their kids aren't home, that kind of thing. So they brought up concerns about transportation and concerns about a longer school day.
What do you mean a longer school day?
The district plans on making the school day 20 minutes longer next year.
Jesus.
And then longer again the following year.
And again, this just shows the naivete, the inexperience, the wackiness of paying somebody $25,000 a month for a job that they don't know what they're doing. All of the studies are saying that you educate kids better with a shorter school day, not a longer school day.
Well, the parents pointed out that the St. Louis already has the longest school day in the area. Mm-hmm. And it's stopping kids from being involved in community activities. Mm-hmm. You know, the library has activities for kids, other association have activities for kids. But those are all before St. Louis kids are getting out of, you know, the elementary age, mm-hmm. before they're getting out of school. Mm-hmm. So, you know, all these activities from other government agencies are only for private school kids because mm-hmm. public school kids can't take advantage of them.
Unbelievable.
You know, and they have no time with their families. But anyways, there are all those concerns. They brought those up. Deanna Anderson, the director of transportation, ran out after them to set up a meeting, and that is tonight at Melanfi School at 6 p.m. There will be free child care there, so if you have kids, don't worry, just bring them along.
And also, an interesting component to this is that because these are concerned parents, because we have a Cheney-esque environment in downtown, the parents wanted somebody from the school district there, and they wanted Craig Williams, who gets paid $25,000 a month, to attend these meetings. They called him, and they were told what?
Well, I don't know if they called him or if they were told by Deanna Anderson that he would be coming, but they were definitely told that Craig Williams was going to be there.
And at $25,000 a month, that's his job to attend these meetings. What happened?
After they put out a notice asking for parents citywide mm-hmm. to come to the meeting, mm-hmm. and I put out that notice too on my email list, and I got a call from Johnny Little, the director of public relations for the school district, who said that Craig Williams will not be at the meeting, that he will definitely not be at that meeting.
Isn't that some stuff? Isn't that some stuff? Here we have parents trying to get parents that weren't included in on this strategic plan, parents that weren't included on this secret Cheney meeting about creating a separate school district of charter schools and a separate school board that was going to suck all the money out of our district into these private enclaves. Parents weren't included in that meeting. Parents have not been included. And there's all, like the caller before, wanting to criticize parents for not getting involved. The parents need to get involved. Here we have a group of concerned parents with legitimate concerns, legitimate issues. And this school district, Craig Williams, who gets paid $25,000 a month, has not been meeting with the parents. He's definitely not coming to this meeting.
He's not coming. And they didn't call the parents and tell them that. I said, they had downtown staff call me. I contact the parents. They're like, well, why didn't they, you know, why didn't they call us? And what is more than that?
More?
There's more. There's more, because the parent-teacher organization at Wilkinson printed up notices about this meeting that they sent to the other schools to be distributed. And a staff member, they said they heard back from one school. A staff member called them and said that she was ordered by her principal not to distribute them to teachers to give to parents.
And again, this is why when people call up and want to jump on the backs of parents and that they're not trying to get involved, this is a district that is resistant to, and in fact, unconcerned with getting parental input. Because it's like when you shine the light on anything, people, you know, are going to say something about what you're doing. The school said don't send messages to parents about a parent's. And this isn't just like a Liz Brown meeting out here with parents. This is a meeting of a parents' organization.
Right. This was a meeting that the school district set up. Right? Director of Transportation contacted these parents, say, we want to meet with you, and set it up, and they got another school to have it at, and yet here's a principal saying, don't let our parents know about it.
And a school board, the superintendent of the school board saying, sending a messenger to you saying he will absolutely, categorically, no way, Jose, will he be there.
Right. He will not be there.
And he gets paid $25,000 a month to attend these meetings. And so please put it out, because every parent should come to this meeting tonight. Tell us about where it is and what time it is and the child care piece.
Okay. It's tonight at 6 p.m., free child care. And it is at Melamphy School. It is on Shaw Boulevard, just east of Tower Grove.
And that's 6 o'clock tonight.
6 p.m.
Very good. Now, also, we have about 4 minutes left here, Peter. Let's talk about the violence piece again, because there's been a big story. That's a big story in the news.
Right. Channel 5 last night, they had Lisa Ziegman did a story on violence in schools. They did a survey of school districts, of teachers in districts on both sides of the river. And basically they found a lot of violence, particularly in St. Louis public schools.
And this goes back to what we were talking about at Stevens School?
Yes.
And I don't want this to be interpreted as a defense of violence, but none of these numbers that they have cannot be discussed by themselves. They have to be taken in context of classroom sizes. They have to be taken in the context of trained teachers. They have to be taken in context of those types of things when we are assessing the violence in schools, don't we?
Well, I would add also taken in context of lack of counselors, lack of social workers, in keeping kids out of special ed, special ed services.
How about lack of access to bathrooms?
Lack of access to bathrooms. There's a whole range of things. And I want to emphasize again, because when we talk about violence, it makes it sound like kids are rioting all across the city,
right.
And they aren't.
Mm-hmm.
And the comment that came out from parents at Stevens School. It came out in these surveys Channel 5 reported on. There's a small number of kids. But the district is not dealing with anything that has to do with the violence these kids are calling.
Well,
you know, the district's response is to suspend somebody for a day and let them back in, rather than dealing with you know, with what caused the violence in the first place.
And then, but then we also have a district that is hooked like crack to PR and publicity. Craig Williams is on that. I swear he fiends for the whole PR component of that. And we have that going on right now at one of the schools with Matt Blunt.
Yes, yes. He's at Williams School this morning with the governor.
And to say what, to do what, to express what?
I don't know. To express how wonderful a job Craig Williams is doing in moving kids from one building to another building.
And what do we know about Williams School?
Not very much. You know, Williams School is where they moved the ninth grade from Vashon.
So it's a brand new place in terms of the population that's there right now.
Right, right. That was one of the middle schools that was closed by Roberti. And so it was reopened to take the ninth grade from Vashon. And the I just want to add this one thing about the small schools, because it's in that theory of small schools. Okay, we moved them by ourselves. We have a small school now. But what's been seen across the country is you put a small group, a smaller group of kids in the school, but you keep them in large classes. Doesn't make much difference.
It's the same thing. Is it? So the building is actually smaller. If you still have 25 kids in a classroom, you've done nothing.
Right.
You've done nothing. Peter Downs, tell us about that meeting again tonight, please.
Tonight at Melanfi School at Shaw and Tower Grove, 6 p.m., free child care.
And everybody should be asking the school board members that are running for re-election to promise on their mother's grave that they would not support a charter school district.
Well, you know, I don't know if their mother's grave means much, but maybe if we get them to put up a bond there, and they lose their money if they vote for a charter school district.
There
that
you
would
go. There you go. Or no, that they'd quit their job if they did, that they would step off of the board. Peter Downs, anything else we need to be looking for coming up in the next week?
Actually, there is. Very quickly, March 2nd, there's a school board candidate forum at Werner School, which is at 6131 Leona.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another candidate forum March 4th at 10 a.m. The March 2nd forum is at 7. March 4th at 10 a.m., sponsored by Northside Neighborhood Action, and that is at North Park United Methodist Church, 1525 Orchid.
Very good. Peter Downs, I'll see you next week. Thank you so much.
See you next week.
I'll be back after this news break. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me.
That not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU.
President Bush is on his way to India after a brief and unannounced detour. More from ABC's Pam Coulter in New Delhi.
President Bush's first ever trip to Afghanistan comes as the Kabul government faces growing peril from the resurgence of Taliban and Al-Qaeda fighters. Asked about the deteriorating security situation, Mr. Bush said U.S. support for Afghanistan is unwavering.
We want to be here. We want to be here to help Afghanistan grow its democracy and to defeat those who can't stand the thought of freedom.
Mr. Bush's 5 hours in Afghanistan included a pep talk for about 600 U.S. troops. Pam Coulter, ABC News, New Delhi.
Concluded results.
Saddam Hussein in court again today, telling the judge that he called for the destruction of the courts in one Iraqi town. He says the decision to eliminate the courts into jail was his decision alone. The former Iraqi leader also accused the chief prosecutor in the case of performing a legal hatchet job. At least 30 people are dead in the latest attacks in Iraq, 23 in a car bombing in Baghdad. 4 people died when mortar rounds fell on their homes. An explosion in Gaza City that killed the top commander of the Islamic Jihad's military wing. Israel says it was not involved. It's time for the big cleanup in the Big Easy. That city officials say was a very good Mardi Gras. Crowds were a lot smaller than they would have liked, but they say it was exactly what the city needed as it rebuilds after Hurricane Katrina. Well, someone is rich in Ohio, very, very rich. The only first prize winning ticket in last night's Powerball jackpot was sold at a convenience store in Lyon. But check your numbers. I understand that there are several second prize tickets that were sold. This is ABC News.
This new Medicare business was pretty confusing to me. I was in Walmart the other day and asked the pharmacist about it. She told me Walmart and Sam's Club pharmacies accept all Medicare plans. I just showed her my Medicare prescription drug card. She filled all of my prescriptions. No hassle, no problem. It was just that easy. I've got better things to do than deal with confusing prescription details, so from here on in, I'm going to Walmart or Sam's Club pharmacy for my Medicare prescriptions.
When my baby left for college, I took some classes of my own.
Left, right, turn.
Dance classes. That's when I started needing a pain reliever for my sore legs. Then I upgraded my computer and had to get a headache medicine, too. For every new pain, I had a different pain reliever. But now I'm all Advil. It's my every pain reliever. Advil works wherever I hurt. And nothing's proven stronger on tough pain than Advil. I'm all Advil. Are you all Advil?
Use as directed compared to OTC pain relievers.
Two California teenagers are lucky to be alive after taking a joyride. It wasn't in one of the family's cars. It was a plane. They managed to get it to fly, but they crashed after they ran out of gas. The teens only had minor injuries. This is Ash Wednesday. It's the start of the Lenten season for many Christians at the Vatican. Pope Benedict told his followers to use the time to give more money to the needy. So you say you're not planning an Oscar party this year. You're not alone.
This year's Best Picture nominees all were box office laggards, ranking anywhere from 29th to 104th in sales. That's a clue why the public's top Oscar choice is no choice at all. 34% have no opinion on which movie should win, more than in past years when more popular flicks were nominated. As things stand, 22% in this poll picked Crash for Best Picture, with Brokeback Mountain second at 15% support.
ABC News polling director Gary Langer with the latest on an ABC News survey. 1,000 adults questioned it had a 3-point margin of error. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
It's time for a report of WGNU News. This update is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts. I'm Peyton Colston reporting. In the news at this hour, a 9-year veteran of the St. Louis Board of Aldermen is looking to move to a new office. Alderman Mike McMillan of the 19th Ward filed yesterday as a Democratic candidate for city license collector. McMillan explains why he's running for license collector after serving 3 terms with the Board of Aldermen.
Well, I have thoroughly enjoyed being an alderman, and I feel that the work that we needed to do to get housing, business, schools, and all of the other institutional growth is well on its way now in terms of the progress that's needed in the 19th Ward, and that this opportunity is one that I'm very glad to partake in.
McMillan says he's running for license collector to improve customer services, collect more taxes to improve city services, and enhance professionalism in the office. The Democratic primary is August 8th. In Maryland Heights, several area communities will be holding blood drives this month. Maryland Heights is among them in honor of Red Cross Month. Paul Thompson, the communication administrator for the city of Maryland Heights, says they try to hold several blood drives every year.
That's really just kind of a timing coincidence, but certainly doesn't hurt to help promote the Red Cross's efforts.
Maryland Heights will host a blood drive today from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. at City Hall. For a complete list of area blood drives, log on to www.AmericanRedCrossBlood.org. And St. Louis University is taking part in a new vaccine study that may be able to prevent the spread of the bird flu. Dr. Robert Belshi of the SLU Vaccine Center says earlier studies of an avian flu vaccine showed it was necessary to take 2 high doses of the flu shot in order to stimulate antibodies.
What we're doing now is adding what's called an adjuvant, which is a chemical, to the vaccine, which stimulates the immune response. And we're hoping to be able to lower the dose of vaccine and still get the same good immune response.
SLU is looking for volunteers to take part in the study. Participants must be between the age of 18 and 49 and be in good health. And that's a report of WGNU News brought to you by Napa Auto Parts. The Napa Hat Swap has begun. Just bring any old hat into your local Napa Auto Parts store and they'll swap it for a brand new Napa racing hat. Napa, get the good stuff. I'm Peyton Colston with WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. Westbound 5570 at Illinois 203. There's a multi-vehicle accident. One car is overturned. Two left lanes are blocked. There's about a half mile back up at this hour. Eastbound Page at 170. It is a disabled tractor trailer in the right lane and is blocked. Eastbound 44 from Meraz Overpass all the way to 270. No problems to report there. Northbound 55 at Butler Hill and 270. No problems there. Northbound 270 on either side of 44 is slow this hour. Southbound US 61 is closed at US 67 in Festus due to an accident. One northbound lane is also blocked. There's a brief delay northbound. Eastbound 70 at KN 79, look for slow traffic. Westbound 40 between McCausland and Hanley, look for slow traffic as well. Westbound 40 between Timberlake Manor and Mason Road, look for slow traffic. And eastbound 40 between Spady and Lindbergh, it is have some slight delays as well as westbound 64 at Bow Avenue and the 5570 split, look for slight delays. Westbound Martin Luther King Bridge from the Gravel Pit all the way to Laclede's Landing, look for slow traffic. Northbound Illinois Route 3 from 8th Street onto the approach of the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for slow traffic as well. Southbound Pennsylvania at Pagedale Industrial Court. The right lane is blocked due to water main work. And Mason at North Outer 40. There's a report of an accident. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. New the Illinois Lottery's Veterans Cash. 100% of the proceeds support healthcare services and disability programs for Illinois veterans. Play Veterans Cash today because when you play, everybody wins. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. Partly sunny, chance of showers and thunderstorms today. High in the mid-70s this evening. Partly cloudy, a chance of showers with a low in the mid-40s. For Thursday, breezy, partly cloudy with a high in the mid-50s. Thursday evening, mostly clear with a low in the lower 30s. And on Friday, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 40s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 44 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting 45. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. I'll be taking your calls and your comments this hour. I want to share a couple of stories with you before I do that. If you want to get to me, the number is 1-877-920-WGNU 454-0400. If you want to email me, do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. You need to get up. You need to get to me. I know I've talked about this a lot. I know that I have talked about it a lot, and then the reason that I have is because there are so much, there's so many backstories to it. There's so many understories to it. There are so many big stories to it, and it's such a revealing act. When Dick Cheney shot his friend in the face and in the heart, 79-year-old friend, it's a heck of a story. But I do want to talk about another component of it. Because, again, it speaks to who these people are and why we should be so concerned about them being in control of anything. When Dick Cheney went hunting, let me back up. When he went hunting in Pennsylvania, he went shooting pheasants. Fortunately, no 79-year-old man was shot in the face or the heart during that particular shoot. But he went pheasant hunting in Pennsylvania in around Christmas time in 2003. But and in all fairness to Cheney, maybe it's because he has such a, you know, there are 7 ambulances following him. Oxygen tanks are strapped to every Secret Service man. That he's just a walking health case. He didn't spend any hours or even days tramping through fields and over the meadow and through the fields to get to the pheasants. No, he didn't have to do that. Upon his arrival at the exclusive Rolling Rock Club in the Longaneer Township, the gameskeepers there released 500 pin-raised pheasants from nets for the benefit of Dick Cheney and his fellow hunters. You hear the quotation marks around that? Hunters. In a blaze of gunfire, including the legendary Dallas Cowboys quarterback Roger Staubach, U.S. Senator John Conrad, Republican from Texas, they killed at least 417 of the birds. Now, let's talk about that. Let's just talk about this obscene act. Pin-raised pheasants. Okay? Hunting? That's almost like skeet shooting. In fact, it's easier than skeet shooting. You just pick, that's like saying, baby, we're going to go fishing in the catfish farm pond. That's not fishing. You just put your net in the water, you dip it out, and you're done. Oh, but they weren't done yet. After hunting pin-raised, pin-fed pheasants released from a net while they're hunkered down with their guns in the air, the birds are released in front of them. They weren't done yet. And they killed 411 of them. I bet you did. Now, why didn't you kill all of them? All you had to do was take a bat and wave it in the air and knock them down from the air. After lunch, they shot a flocks of mallard ducks also raised in pen. These are live skeets. Canned hunting. This is where hunters pay fees to blast away at released animals, whether they're birds or rabbits. quails, pigeons. And oftentimes, because these cowards, these non-hunters, this is sadistic. Let's just call it what it is. Sadists. That's a sadistic thing. That is, I want to kill something. Because I'll give it to a hunter. You know, part of it is they're out in the woods. You know, they're with their friends. They're it's man against animal, and there's some, although it's really not fair. He has a gun, and the other one has wings. That ain't fair either. Okay, but at least there's some effort involved in this. This is about nothing but killing. Because otherwise they'd release them and you'd have to go hunt them down, right? This is about killing. This is sadistic. This is sadistic. Canned hunting is what it is. Mm. They shoot rhinoceroses within a fenced pen. Oh, go dude, yeah. And understand this. Tell me why a pheasant would fly away from a human being, a pheasant that's been raised on a farm. Huh? Tell me why. Pheasants are about as wary of urban pigeons as pigeons are. It's nothing but a live target practice. So let me ask you this. A grown man who squats in a ditch. No, I bet he's sitting in a lawn chair with a vice presidential seal on it, waiting for birds to be released in front of them. No, farm-raised, hand-fed birds to be released in front of them. These are probably the first time these birds have ever flown. How unfair is that? So just bear with me. Is it any surprise that they don't have any compassion for you? That this seems a reasonable exercise to them? It's sick. It's twisted. It's a mockery. It makes a mockery of the principles of fair play. It makes a mockery of the principles of humane treatment. It's sadistic. How does this impact you? Well, This administration has a plan to allow trophy hunters to shoot endangered species in other countries and import the trophies and hides into the United States. Does it come as a surprise to you that a fan of canned hunting, that's not even hunting, that a fan of slaughtering, paid for slaughtering of animals, would be down with the idea of being able to slaughter endangered species? I just want to be a fly on the wall when these people shuffle off their mortar coils. And, you know, the problem is these people probably live so long because they're too scared to die. Too scared to die for the retribution that has to come with this sadistic philosophy. You are trying to put forth a plan that would allow people to go to other countries, shoot and kill endangered God's creatures, and bring them back to the United States and put them up on your wall. Ain't that some stuff? Ain't that some stuff? 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff. So much stuff to talk about. This is so foul. This is so foul. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning. Miss Brown.
Good morning.
I heard on the news this morning. I need to lead me through this and tell me where Bush got the ability, the legal rights to do this. Bush made a statement this morning that Iran shall not possess the ability or the knowledge to develop an atomic weapon. Now, are they our 51st state, or what? How can we tell this country what to do and not to do? And one more quick thing, and I'll get off of here. We got Katrina down there, and he said that he's going to rebuild a mosque in Iraq that was bombed.
Ain't that some stuff?
We can't even rebuild a hospital down
in
New Orleans.
Ain't that some stuff? That is an excellent observation. That is an excellent observation.
Under what authority does he get to tell a sovereign country what they can and cannot do?
He can't. I mean, and here's the thing.
He thinks he can.
That's always been the scary part of this administration. But also know this, and just to show you the hypocrisy of it, and about that is not about any kind of rules or regulations. Iran has signed on to the nuclear proliferation agreement. Iran has agreed to the tenets of that. Now he's going down to Pakistan and India, and he's going to let them develop. He's going to say that they have his permission to develop nuclear. Energy, do nuclear stuff, and they haven't signed on to the treaty at all.
This guy is one spooky guy, I'll tell you. He just comes off the wall with statements like this.
Thanks for your call.
Aggravating other people.
All right, thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning, Christine.
You just tell us so much good information, and you have a way of making it humorous, but it's all true. I was thinking about what you were saying about Buckshot. I call him Buckshot Dick. You were saying about ambulances, almost like a full hospital unit that follows him around with doctors and oxygen and defibrillators and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But there is a good reason for that, because this quadruple heart transplant that he received, they're usually good for like something like 20 years or less, and the warranty on his heart is just about up. So it could give out at any minute. So I think that's the reason that he has this unit following him around. And another thing, Harry Whittington, the 79-year-old man that Dick shot in the face and the heart, well, you were talking about he was apologetic.
No, he apologized. He wasn't apologetic. He apologized to Dick Cheney.
And I was thinking about it. It has to be, in my opinion, more than not the kind of scared, like he's a scaredy cat. But there might be some other type of scared that would make him apologize for being shot. I don't know what kind of scared it is. It could be a long litany of things, but... We know that these people are torturers and they are extortioners. So it could be anything that would make, because that is, litany? No, you didn't call it a litany. You called it some anomaly that would make him apologize for being shot. I mean,
it's
this
crazy. It's
crazy. That's going to be with him forever.
Until he dies. Thanks for your call.
You're welcome.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You're on the wake-up call.
Yes, Liz.
Yes.
Okay, I got my absentee ballot, and they got, for the Board of Education,
yes, ma'am.
They got Darlene and then Bruford. Then they got Peter, but I don't know the other people that's on there. Jones, Donkins, and Clark.
Okay.
Do you know any of them who to vote for?
You know what? I haven't decided who I'm going to vote for.
Okay, where can we go and find something out about these other four people, other than Peter?
Other than Peter Downs?
Yeah, he's number three.
Okay.
I voted for him,
so
but I need to vote for one more.
Okay, there is a forum tonight, and I don't have that information in front of me, but here's what I'd like to do. When do you have to have your when do you plan on putting your absentee ballot in?
Well, as soon as I can find out who another good person.
Here's what I'd like you to do.
I'll wait for you tomorrow to announce.
That'll be good.
Okay.
All right, thank
Thanks.
You. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And
And my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. There is a forum, that's right, there's a forum this Saturday at the church down there on the Riverview Circle on Orchard. There's a forum this Saturday with the candidates, so that would be a good place, a good time to go, and I'll give you that, do the details of that in just a second here. Kathy, you're on the wake-up call.
Yes, Liz. Well, the lady that just called concerning the voting, the teachers union are endorsing Donna Jones.
Yeah, I know.
And Peter.
I know.
And Donna is a parent whose children are in the public school, and they have, and she's been in the public school for a long time.
Okay.
And we interviewed her. She's a very good person.
Okay.
Okay, thanks. Have a great one.
All right. 454-0400 is my phone number. The teachers union doesn't have a good rep with me in terms of what they've done with regard to this. So, but there is a forum. I encourage you to go to the forum on a Saturday. That's the Northside Neighborhood Action Forum. That's on North Park. It's the United Methodist Church. That's 1525 Orchard, and that's 10 a.m. on Saturday morning. And that's another one. And then there's a Melanfi school meeting tonight, but that doesn't have anything to do with the teachers. But the teachers, there's a forum for the candidates at 10 a.m., the Northside Neighborhood Action Association at 10 a.m., 1525 Orchard. That's a really, really good one to go to. You're on the wake-up call.
Hi, this is Don Fitz with the Grain.
Okay.
With the Grain Party.
Yes.
And I wanted to mention that the Grain Party had a meeting and discussed all the school board candidates because we consider this extremely important race. The Greens have endorsed Peter Downs and Donna Jones largely because we work a lot on lead poisoning. We feel that while there are multiple candidates who are very good in replacing the shameless slate, that Peter Downs and Donna Jones have the best chances of winning. Donna has an excellent record in terms of working on lead poisoning, which is a really critical issue for kids and for the whole city.
Well, I'm a little concerned with the phrase best chance of winning. I think that people need to be concerned about the best people on the board, and I would encourage people, and I'm sure like you would too, to go to the forums to get to know, because I feel that people have gotten to know. Peter's already put in his time. Peter has demonstrated to you and to everyone his commitment to education and his concern about education. His record is stellar, but other people don't know. So that's why people really need to go out to the forums and to listen to the candidates, because people have endorsed other people before that we haven't known. And I really think it's a blessing in terms of the Peter component, because we have had an opportunity to get to know this person over the course of the years and to see what they do. So I encourage people to go to the forum, but that's good information.
Well, it's important that people listen to the candidates, but I hope that progressives come together, because the shameless slay side has two candidates. Progressives have four. If we divide our votes between those four, then they're going to, even if Peter wins, they'll still have a 4-3 majority on the school board,
mm-hmm.
and we need our side to have a 4-3 majority to really turn it around.
I know the math.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Don. 454-0400 is the phone number. We're going to take a break. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get to me.
Ready or not, here I come, you can't hide. Gonna find you and take it slowly. Ready or not, here I come, you can't hide. Gonna find you and make you want me.
Now that I escaped.
You've been listening to the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown on AM 920 WGNU.
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Ultimate Fighting Championship 58. Westbound 5570 at Illinois 203. All roadways are reopened. Everything has moved back to the right shoulder now. There's about a quarter mile backup. Traffic is also slowing at 4th Street all the way onto the Poplar Street Bridge at this hour. Eastbound Page at 170. Look for a disabled tractor trailer. The right lane is still blocked this hour. Eastbound 44 from Mraz overpass 270 looks good. Northbound 270 from Butler Hill to 270, no problems there. Northbound 270 at 44 and Marshall has returned back to normal. Eastbound 40 at Brentwood and Hanley look for slow traffic, as well as westbound 270 from Canal Bridge all the way to New Halls Ferry. No problems to report there. Southbound 61 is still closed at 67. That's in Festus due to an accident. One northbound lane is also blocked. There's a brief delay on the northbound side. Eastbound 70 at 79 is easing. Westbound 40 from McCausland to Hanley, look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 from 141 to Mason, look for delays as well. Eastbound 40 from Spady to Lindbergh, look for slow traffic as well. Westbound 64 from Bowell Avenue onto the 5570 split, look for delays. Westbound Martin Luther King Bridge looks good all the way into Laclede's Landing. Northbound Route 3 at 8th Street in the PSB, the traffic congestion has been cleared. Southbound Pennsylvania to Pagedale Industrial Court, the right lane is blocked due to water main work, and Adelaide ramps onto eastbound 70 are closed due to cleanup from an accident on Monday. You can use Cary or Grand to get around that area. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Ultimate Fighting Championship 58. Order UFC 58, USA versus Canada, live this Saturday night. Rich Franklin defends his title. You can call your pay-per-view provider or use your digital remote Saturday to order Ultimate Fighting Championship 58. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Friday, partly sunny. Chance of showers this afternoon with a high in the mid-70s. This evening, partly cloudy. Chance of showers with low in the mid-40s for Thursday. Cooler, partly cloudy, high in the mid-50s. Thursday evening, mostly clear with a low in the lower 30s. And on Friday, mostly sunny, but the high will only be in the upper 40s. Currently, the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have overcast conditions and 45 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting 46 and clouds as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. We'll take another look at your news, your traffic, and your weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Are you hungry? You need to go to Sweetie Pies, 4270 Manchester, 9481 West Florissant. Fried chicken wing, beef liver, baked chicken, pork chops, everything good that you want to eat. Sweetie Pies, 4270 Manchester, brand new location. Check them out. Makes you want to kiss your mama.
Hi, folks. This is Decent Guy Dunn. Join me at midnight every Monday through Friday right here on WGNU. Yes, you heard right. Every night at midnight, Monday through Friday. Congress isn't the only group of people up at midnight, don't you know? Now the conspiracy hunter is flying under cover of darkness with night vision at the ready to uncover what's going on in Washington and in world capitals and to discuss it with you. It's information that matters to all of us. Remember, join me at midnight Monday through Friday for The Conspiracy Hunter with Decent Guy Don Griffin on AM 920 WGNU, the station with something for everyone, even at midnight. See you then.
You're listening to the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown on AM 920 WGNU.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Talk to me while I'm listening now. While this love has a voice that we both can hear. Before you let it go, greatest love I've ever known. Won't you please?
Talk to me while I'm listening. This is Liz Brown. My number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get up. Get up. Get to me. Whoo, my goodness gracious. Make no mistake about it, George W. Bush, I just want you to feel me on this. Feel me on this. George W. Bush would rather be in, feel this, Afghanistan than be in the United States. He's in Afghanistan right now. He wants to get away from questions and comments about the six-month marker of Katrina hitting the Gulf Coast. He wants to get away from the 1,500 dead people in Iraq, bloodiest time since our invasion. He wants to get away from a discussion of the Dubai issue. He wants to get away from a discussion of his poll numbers at 34% approval rating. He wants to get away from this. Did you know this? Today, Stacey Bannerman, the wife of a National Guard soldier who returned from Iraq, will testify in front of the House Appropriations Subcommittee on Military Quality of Life and Veterans Affairs. She will be joined by T.S. Steele, the stepmother of a soldier who was killed in Iraq, Garrett Rappengagen, a Iraq War veteran, Elizabeth Frederick, whose partner returned from Iraq and who've submitted written testimony. This is testimony by military families and Iraq War veterans. It's coming right before the third anniversary of the Iraq War. And they're asking the questions that how many, they're asking this question, how many more deaths and physical and psychological wounds must our loved ones and the people of Iraq suffer before you act decisively to end a war that you should have never allowed to start? Well, now. These are family members. These are veterans. And they're going to Congress and they're laying the blame at the feet of Congress. This crazy man asked you to start this war. You didn't have to say yes, you did. You need to stop it as quickly as you started it. You need to stop it. That's why George Bush ain't in Dodge. He said, I'm getting the HE double toothpicks up out of here. Getting the heck out of Dodge. And I'm rolling. I will go to Afghanistan before I go to Washington, D.C. I ain't playing. It is safer in Afghanistan because how many reporters are going to be in Afghanistan asking me questions? A precious few. Y'all can't get to me in Afghanistan. Man, you know, don't make me go back to Mongolia, outer Mongolia, because I'll go there too. If I got to get away from y'all, I will go back to outer Mongolia. George Bush is on the run. He's so tired of these questions everywhere he goes about. And you know, you can just look in his face and say, I'm so sick and tired of talking about this Dubai issue. Shut up. Just shut up. I don't care if Cheney shot any of y'all. Shut up. I don't have to answer these questions. Yesterday he told an interpreter, you can stop interpreting now because I'm not taking any more of these questions. Said that to her face. Baby, I'm sure in Afghanistan you only got six questions asked of you because there are only two reporters. Come on now, answer something. Stop interpreting because I'm not answering any more of these questions. You foreign reporters act like you read what's going on in the United States. I came here to get away from this. Look, I can't even spell Dubai. Okay? I can't even spell it. Why do you expect me to have an opinion about it? The answer is, yes, we're doing it. And then I'm going to use this other big word, veto. I'll veto it if they say no. No more questions. It's been a rough, 34%er. He's a 34%er. What do you want to bet it gets down to 29%? What do you bet it gets down to 29%? And that's after counting his mama 57,000 times. Putting her in the poll. What do you bet it gets down to 29%? Because the way, the pace of this thing, these Republicans thought that the last thing that they were going to have to deal with was, okay, we got through the Harriet Myers thing. Nobody's going to remember the Harriet Myers thing. Well, actually, we do. Dubai has helped remind the American people about the screw-up on Harriet Myers. I guess, can you say the word boomerang? Can you say the word boomerang? Because this stuff keeps coming right back to you, doesn't it? I bet you somebody in your administration shoots somebody else before it's all said and done. And you're going to have to talk about that, too. Ooh, poor George. Poor George. Ooh. Oh, he's never had his foot out of his mouth. Oh, Lord. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. You're on the wake-up call, Luke.
Yes. I'd like to talk about an article that was in the Post-Dispatch on Monday. The title of it was Keeping HIV Secret. And in that particular article, it was a spinoff on the 26-year-old white woman that had HIV and that was kept spreading it out in St. Charles. Well, this particular article went on to kind of give her a softball throw for spreading it. And then it continued on page A7, where it showed on page A6, it had a half-page picture, photo of black people, 10 people, from infants all the way to senior citizens.
Did it have her picture in there?
No, it did not. But
why
this,
didn't it have her picture in there?
That's a good question. But this,
Wait a minute. There was a story about a woman who spread AIDS all over St. Charles.
Yes.
So I'm assuming that there are men out there that don't know that they have gotten AIDS from her, or maybe women that have gotten AIDS from her that don't know about it, and the newspaper didn't think it was significant enough to put her picture in the paper?
They did not put her picture.
Interesting.
But they put an ad that said that the faces of AIDS in our community, and it had 10 black people on there.
No white faces?
No white faces.
And that's something.
Yes.
Okie dokie.
Okay.
That's not about the crime. It's about those who stand accused of it. Ooh, 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long distance is 1-877-920-WGNU. 1,300 people, Iraqis, have been killed in the last few days. We have much to talk about. We're going to take a break. I'm Liz Brown. Get up. Get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about.
Father, stop criticizing your son. Mother, please.
You've been listening to the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown on AM 920 WGNU.
This hour's global news update can be heard in its entirety at the 8:45 time slot next Wednesday.
Are you hungry? You need to go to Sweetie Pies, 4270 Manchester, 9481 West Florissant. Fried chicken wing, beef liver, baked chicken, pork chops, everything good that you want to eat. Sweetie Pies, 4270 Manchester, brand new location. Check them out. Makes you want to kiss your mama.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Tune in 2 to 4 weekday afternoons on AM 920 WGNU. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA and let's go take on the day.
You want your preschooler to be ready for school. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center is ready to help you prepare your preschooler, not only for school, but also for life. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center is an outreach of Trinity Tabernacle Assembly of God in Bridgeton. Your child, age 2 to 4, receives a non-denominational Bible curriculum with Bible stories, songs, arts and crafts, plus lessons in numbers, science, arts, and phonics to help prepare him or her for kindergarten. Your child will also grow personally, socially, educationally, and spiritually every day as a unique individual created by God. Call Christine at 314-291-8839 to learn more about Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center and to register your child. Open Monday through Friday from 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center, 11950 Mark Twain Drive in Bridgeton, 314-291-8839. Serving the community since 1979.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
Where else, where else, where else? Big screen television, little screen television, DVD players. How about a refrigerator? How about a stove? How about a DVR? How about a tractor? How about a lawnmower? They have it all. This is a full-service Sears. The only full-service Sears in the city of St. Louis, right at Union and Natural Bridge. Come on, get your shop on with the best customer service in town. When you get to Sears at Union and Natural Bridge, tell Jerome Williams, I told you to.
You're listening to the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown on AM 920 WGNU.
The struggle for fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Para donde vas? Para donde vas? Donde vas? Para donde vas?
Muchacha.
Para donde vas?
Oye, mujer.
Para donde vas?
Dime.
Para donde vas? Donde vas?
Si vas al baile, baila conmigo. Si vas al carnaval, quiero ir contigo. Si vas.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I'm Liz Brown. My number here, it's 1-877-920-WGNU. It's 1-877-920-WGNU or 454-0400. Get up. Get to me. Huh? I thought of another reason why George W. Bush is happy to be in Afghanistan, where nobody should be happy to be in Afghanistan. He's happy to be in his bunker in Afghanistan, just like he was happy to be in Outer Mongolia a little while back. Check this out. Now, this is another story that he's got to be running from. At least tens of thousands of veterans. Let me say that again. Tens of thousands of veterans with non-critical medical issues are at risk. Because if George W. Bush meets his promise of cutting the deficit in half, they're going to suffer. They may even be denied care if what George Bush wants to do comes to pass. Now, let me be clear. The cost of providing medical care to veterans has been growing hugely. Hugely. It's more and more and more expensive. We have wounded coming back from this miserable illegal war that are being treated, and it's expensive because they've survived things that war generations before them did not survive. But it ain't free. It's at a serious cost. They are, let's just be honest, let's just use the right words about what George Bush's plans are towards veterans care. And not being a veteran himself, I guess he doesn't feel it. And having the best health care in the world, I guess he doesn't feel it. And being a person that used to stick firecrackers up the behind of frogs and blowing them up, he doesn't feel people's pain, others' pain, any pain. Pain on himself or pain that he inflicts. So, understand this, that they are going to gut
VA care over the next 5 years. The only way that they can do it if we have two things. The administration says it's going to cut the deficit in half and then over the next several years. The only way they can do it is to gut VA benefits. Now, all you have to do is look at Paige. You don't have to just listen to me, although I encourage you to do so. All you have to do is look at page 673. Oh, that's right. You can't look at it because the White House refused to release it. But there was an organization, the Center of Budget and Policy Priorities. They got a hold of it. And they said that on page 673, oh, there's a plan for gutting VA benefits. The budget for veterans medical services that was funded for the current year at $24.5 billion. Okay, in the year 2007, it would leap to $27.7 billion. So then what that means is that medical services budget, it faces a 3% cut in 2008, so it would hover below the $27 billion for the next 4 years. Is that a big deal? Is that a big deal for them? Because remember, the budget this year is $24.5 billion. So in the next 4 years, for it to hover below $27 billion is okay, right? No, it's not. Because you have to factor in the fact that we are having thousands and thousands of wounded veterans coming back from Iraq. We could be having thousands and thousands of wounded veterans coming back from Iran if we all haven't been blown off the face of the earth by then. And don't forget the aging population of World War II veterans, the aging population of Korean War veterans, and don't forget the Vietnam veterans. All of this is coinciding at the same. This is happening. This is coming together at the same time. And we have an administration that will not increase the spending for VA health services for the next 4 years. For the next 4 years. And they've already taken what's one of the tricks that they use to address the budget? They lock veterans out of the system. They lock veterans out of the system. A quarter of a million of veterans have already been turned out of, kept from, administratively removed from the system as a cost-saving measure. Oh, yeah. George Bush is in Afghanistan. I understand why. I understand why, because he sure don't want to talk about this. He sure doesn't want to talk about this. It's just it. Oh, Lord. Bad news bears. I'm telling you. Outer Mongolia is looking good. It's looking so good. Oh. And understand that, yes, there are security reasons why landing in Afghanistan was not on the official presidential agenda. But also understand that this administration is desperately looking for a way to keep people, to bring George Bush back into the, at least I'm tough I am the war president. I'll keep you safe. I'll keep you so safe that I ain't scared to go to Afghanistan. Well, baby, you didn't have your choice was to come back to Washington, D.C. or go to Afghanistan. I sure don't want to be in Washington, D.C. on the 6-month anniversary of the Katrina. I sure don't want to be in Washington, D.C. to talk about this Dubai thing. Yeah, baby, book me for Afghanistan. Book it. Yeah, let's get it done. Because this Dubai issue, Republican congressional leaders had hoped to, hush people up about this Dubai thing. And that's not going to work either, because the U.S. Coast Guard raised concerns weeks ago
that because of U.S. intelligence gaps, it could not determine whether the UAE company might support terrorist operations. Huh? 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 Republicans, so it's happening all over again. Republicans and Democrats have seized on this assessment released by Susan Collins. Who's Susan Collins? Oh, snap. She's a Republican. She released this? The dam is a-breaking. The dam is a-busting. For boy George here, she released it? I am, and this is, these are the words from a Republican. A United States senator who said, and I quote, yeah, baby, I bet Afghanistan looked good to you. She said, I am more convinced than ever that the process was truly flawed, the process of vetting this Dubai deal. Those did not come from the mouth of the theoretical opposition party members. Those came from the mouths of opposition. Chuck Schumer said, this isn't a smoking gun. It shows that there may have been one undetected by the multi-agency panel that approved DB World's purchase of the London-based Peninsular and Oriental Steam Navigation Company. The panel signed off on the deal without doing a 45-day investigation into security implications, which the law requires. Oh, did I say that yesterday? The Senate Conference Committee held a hearing to review the deal. You want to understand? Yeah. I bet George Bush stays in Afghanistan for about a week. I bet he starts to build a condo there. No, he's not home yet. He don't want to come home. And I understand. I feel your pain. I feel your pain. My name is Liz Brown. This is a wake-up call. I'll be back in the next hour. Stay with me.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember? I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing the revolution begin. Tell me, brother.
Is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
On issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. President Bush now in India. ABC's Jessica Yellen has more on the first planned stop of the president's trip.
India is a long-established democracy, and the U.S. has newer close relations with Pakistan. So there's some distinction there, but the president is making an effort, and clearly in the way his administration officials are talking about it, to show that he regards both countries equally as allies and friends of the U.S.
Air Force One made an unexpected stop today in Afghanistan, the president's first visit there.
One of the messages I want to say to the people of Afghanistan, it's our country's pleasure and honor to be involved with the future of this country.
He held a joint news conference with President Karzai.
From the defeat of terrorism, to peace in Afghanistan, to democracy, to reconstruction, to the success of the whole process. Thank you very much.
Mr. Bush also met with U.S. troops at Bagram Air Base. At least 30 people are dead after the latest violence in Iraq. Police say the worst of the attacks, a car bomb in Baghdad that killed at least 23. There were also deadly mortar attacks outside the capital city. In most things, with the good, you take the bad, and this time it's where the economy is concerned.
The Commerce Department found that consumers spent enthusiastically in the month of January. Personal spending rose 0.9%, but pay rose by less than that, 0.7%, the net effect being that personal savings suffered, with Americans either dipping into savings or borrowing to support their spending.
ABC's Luis Schiavone in Washington. So, who is it? We're still waiting to see who bought that one grand prize winning ticket in last night's huge Mega Millions drawing. It's worth more than $267 million. The only thing we know so far, it was sold at a convenience store in Lyon, Ohio. The Dow is up 38 points, NASDAQ up 11. This is ABC News.
This new Medicare business was pretty confusing to me. I was in Walmart the other day and asked the pharmacist about it. She told me Walmart and Sam's Club pharmacies accept all Medicare plans. I just showed her my Medicare prescription drug card. She filled all of my prescriptions. No hassle, no problem. It was just that easy. I've got better things to do than deal with confusing prescription details, so from here on in, I'm going to Walmart or Sam's Club pharmacy for my Medicare prescriptions.
When my baby left for college, I took some classes of my own.
Left, right, turn.
Dance classes. That's when I started needing a pain reliever for my sore legs. Then I upgraded my computer and had to get a headache medicine, too. For every new pain, I had a different pain reliever. But now I'm all Advil. It's my every pain reliever. Advil works wherever I hurt. And nothing's proven stronger on tough pain than Advil. I'm all Advil. Are you all Advil?
Use as directed. Compared to OTC pain relievers.
The big party is over, and now it's time for the big cleanup in the Big Easy. Here's ABC's Jim Ryan.
The 150th Mardi Gras was a chance for storm-weary New Orleanians to relax, if only for a few days. Louisiana Governor Kathleen Blanco says it's time to pick up the hammers again.
We've got a lot of work ahead of us, and nobody kids themselves on what lies ahead of us, but we're going to be good. It's going to take a little while. There's a lot of work yet to do.
The governor joined thousands of her constituents and tourists at one of yesterday's many parades. The floats have all rolled back into storage for another year. Jim Ryan, ABC News, New Orleans.
Pilots at Northwest Airlines have been told to be ready to go on strike. They've already okayed a work stoppage if the bankrupt carrier makes threatened pay cuts and work rule changes a reality. Union spokesman Wade Blaffa says the pilots are trying to work with Northwest.
We want a consensual agreement. That's what we've wanted for the last 2 years.
But Northwest said a strike would be illegal. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
For a report of WGNU News, this update is brought to you by Ultimate Fighting Championship, USA versus Canada. I'm Peyton Colston reporting. In the news, a 9-year veteran of the St. Louis Board of Aldermen is hoping to move to a new office. 19th Ward Alderman Mike McMillan filed as a Democrat for city license collector yesterday. McMillan says he's running for the new position to continue the progress made by the current license collector, Greg Daly, by professionalizing the office, aggressively seeking new revenue, and providing a better government for the city. The Democratic primary will take place on August 8th. In other news, Ash Wednesday is being observed today by Christians around the world. It's the start of the Lenten season, the 40 days leading up to Easter Sunday. Father John Foley, the director of the Center of Liturgy at St. Louis University, says the purpose of the practice of giving up something during Lent is to let God in to bring spiritual growth. St. Francis Xavier College Church will hold Ash Wednesday Masses at 7:15 this morning, noon, 5:15, and final service at 10 o'clock this evening. The city of Maryland Heights is among the communities hosting blood drives as part of Red Cross Month. Paul Thompson, the communication administrator for the city of Maryland Heights, encourages everyone to come out and donate. Maryland Heights will host a blood drive today from 11 until 2 at City Hall. For a complete list of area blood drives, log on to www.AmericanRedCrossBlood.org. And finally, efforts are being made to reduce the area's pet population. Operation Spot announced yesterday on Spay Day USA that spaying and neutering would be offered at a reduced price of $10 for cat owners who can't afford the surgery. Liz Rutter, the president of Operation Spot, says 25,000 dogs and cats were euthanized in the St. Louis area in 2004 because of overpopulation. The program will be offered at 22 veterinary offices in St. Louis, St. Louis County, St. Charles, Franklin, and Jefferson counties, and the Metro East, March 11th and 12th. Call 314-995-8678 for more information or to make an appointment. And that's WGNU News brought to you by Ultimate Fighting Championship USA versus Canada. Order UFC 58 USA versus Canada live this Saturday night. Rich Franklin defends his title. Call your pay-per-view provider or use your digital remote Saturday to order Ultimate Fighting Championship. I'm Peyton Colston for WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. Westbound 5570 at Illinois 203, the right lane is still blocked due to an earlier accident. Southbound 170 at 270, a spilled load of a truck has lost a bunch of boxes. Both lanes are blocked this hour. Southbound 61 is still closed at 67. That's in Festus due to an earlier accident. One lane of the northbound 61 is also blocked as well. Southbound Pennsylvania at Pagedale Industrial Court. Look for a right lane closed due to water main work. Adelaide ramps onto eastbound 70 are closed due to cleanup from an accident from Monday. You can use Cary or Grand to get around that area. And St. Ferdinand at US 67. Look for an accident reported. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. New the Illinois Lottery's Veterans Cash. 100% of the proceeds support health care services and disability programs for Illinois veterans. Play Veterans Cash today because when you play, everybody wins. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Friday. For today, partly sunny, a chance of showers this afternoon with a high in the mid-70s. This evening, partly cloudy, another chance for showers. The low should be in the mid-40s. For Thursday, partly cloudy, breezy, a high in the mid-50s. Thursday evening, mostly clear with a low in the lower 30s. And on Friday, mostly sunny skies, but it'll be a little deceiving as the high will only be in the upper 40s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have overcast conditions, and right now the current temperature is 58 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 57 and clouds as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, tell me, sister.
Many are denied. so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Well, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609. That would be my fax. And, I just, it seems like every day there's another story that's coming out about what is not being done by this administration, what is, what report is going unreported, what numbers are going out that have, that are not accurate. The secrecy, the clandestine behavior of this administration is really breathtaking. And that also, the, I don't know, it seems like the sick, twisted sister of clandestine behavior is non-inclusion. Because as much stuff as we're not being told about, there's also stuff that we're not being invited to participate in. Now, I don't know, exclusion, I guess, is the sick, twisted sister of non-disclosure. We need to talk about that. Because I'm starting to feel, because I'm reading all of these stories and hearing all these news reports and researching all of this, this one particular topic, the topic of our environment. The environment issue is going to be the next big thing insofar as politics is concerned. Reading stories about how evangelicals are now, some evangelicals are now taking on the environment as a cause. It's not just abortion anymore, apparently. It is about the issue of the environment. They're saying that we should be leaving things as God intended them to be left. We should be protecting and preserving our environment. There are stories that are coming out that the next wars that may be fought are water wars. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. There are wars brewing all over the world because there's going to be a shortage of water, partly as a result of population, partly as a result of what is being done to our environment. The environment's going to be the next big thing, I predict. So we need to know, we need to keep a finger on the pulse, we need to be active on this issue of what is happening with our environment. And in theory, there is an organization that protects us, that is supposed to protect us, in theory. It's called the EPA, and I say in theory, because this ain't your grandmama's EPA. It truly isn't. And we need to talk about that. And I have joining me from Washington, D.C., to talk about the EPA and what they have failed to disclose to us. I have the Senior Vice President of the Environmental Working Group, Richard Wiles. He's joining us again from Washington, D.C. Richard, good morning.
Morning. How are you?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
I'm doing okay.
Very good. The EPA has failed to disclose pollution data?
Oh, yeah, they failed to disclose solution data, but they have a new plan, which is to basically shut down what has been the one lonely little source of information for people in communities that are surrounding factories and industries that dump, you know, hundreds and thousands of pounds of toxic chemicals and toxic metals like lead and mercury into the community environment. So what the EPA has proposed is to basically not require literally thousands of these facilities to report anything anymore, so that the communities that are the most at risk, that live right next to these facilities, won't have any information on what they're being exposed to. And the amazing thing about this is that this program, which is called the Toxics Release Inventory, it doesn't actually regulate, it doesn't actually do anything or impose any burden on these polluters other than requiring them to tell the truth about what they're doing. But apparently even that is too much. So the Bush EPA has proposed to roll it back.
And by rolling it back, what does that mean?
Oh, it means that if you, right now, if you dump more than 500 pounds of any chemical contaminant pollutant metal into the environment around your plant, you have to report that, and ultimately the community can find out about it. But what the Bush EPA says, no, 500 pounds is you know, too burdensome. We're going to raise that to 5,000 pounds. And what that means is that, for example, and there's 15 states where there'd be at least 100 facilities that wouldn't have to report anything anymore. You know, in Missouri, there'd be 88 that wouldn't have to report anymore. And this is really important information. This is basically the only information that communities around these plants have. It's the only way they can find out what's, you know, what they're being exposed to, what their children are being exposed to. You know, a lot of these little places are the ones that are the biggest polluters, unfortunately. It's sort of these medium-sized companies that, you know, pollute these communities with some of the most dangerous chemicals. So under the Bush plan, all that pollution will be secret.
So give us some examples of some of these little places that are putting out so much toxins, so many toxins.
Oh, well, I mean, you know, here's one that reported last year, Midwest Industrial Chemical Company. Now, I've never heard of them, but they released almost 11,000 pounds of contaminants into the, wherever they're located, into the community around that facility. Because a lot of those contaminants were, the individual pollutants came out of the factory at less than 5,000 pounds each. Basically, that company won't have to report any pollution again. So you have, you know, companies like that, that, you know, sort of the paint companies or metal plating companies or, you know, mid-sized chemical companies that pollute with, you know, thousands of pounds of pollutants every year, that won't be required to report. And to no end, what's the point? I mean, what we've asked, and I think what everybody wants to know, is so why are we depriving the public of this one little sliver of information that they have that helps them, you know, actually try to reduce this pollution?
Well, I guess the response from the other side would be that one little sliver of information oftentimes is the one thing that forces these companies to do something. Because when word gets out that they're dumping these kinds of pollutants in, even if there is no mandate from the government to do something, the businesses are kind of self-cleaning themselves up
right. When
this information gets out. So I guess that would be their complaint.
That's their complaint. But, you know, really, if you ask industry, the other amazing thing is industry didn't lobby very much for this, as far as we can tell.
We've not, really?
This sort of just came out of nowhere from Bush EPA. So we've not been able to find anybody who was asking for this, because you're right that that's what the industry say, but industry also says that, you know what, after we had to do this, we went and looked around and we realized we were pretty wasteful in our practices. We could clean up things.
So they made money off of it.
Gave us money,
yeah, right.
I mean, some of the big guys like, you know, Monsanto or whatever have reported that they've reduced their emissions by around 80% of the nasty things they have to report here. So they actually, industry has claimed this as, you know, the most effective environmental initiative ever. Now, the reason they say that is twofold. One, because it has helped them become more efficient. The other reason is, of course, there's no regulations involved, so, of course, they like that. But there's no doubt that most of what this has done is help industries save money.
So in terms of the EPA, has your organization seen the EPA doing the types of things that it's doing now? Does it seem to be appear to be more partisan now, more political now than it's ever been before? Is this the same old EPA?
Well, you got two groups at the EPA. You have the civil servants, people that have actually chosen to work there as a career, who basically are dedicated people who could make a lot more money working for industry if they felt like it, but they've decided to do this. And those people are generally trying to do the right thing. Then you layer over on top of them the political appointees who, most for the most part, are not interested in, you know, the public health or the environment really at all. And so there's this constant fight. Sometimes, you know, the public wins, sometimes not. It's clearly gone in the wrong direction under the Bush administration, if you're interested in protecting public health and the environment, where there's a number of examples. And it also has had the effect of when industry-oriented political appointees come in and take over the key decision-making jobs at the EPA, what they also do is sort of select out within the career people those that are more favorable to industry. So you get a basic shift of the agency in favor of polluters, and there's no doubt that that's happened, no doubt at all.
Well, in terms of the severity of it, in terms of the impact of it, in terms of the size of the favor that is being curried for industry, has the EPA been like this before?
Oh yeah, the EPA, you know, has a mixed record at best. But you know what they've, if you just, you know, look at the favors that were done to the energy industry in the energy bill, right? And
mm-hmm.
the unwillingness to crack down on coal-fired power plants, which are huge polluters with mercury and smog-forming chemicals that put kids in the hospital every year, and the way that they've not done anything to reduce auto emissions and refused, you know, to advocate for better mileage cars. You just look across the board at the basic job that EPA is supposed to be doing, and under Bush, they're not doing it at all. They're not taking any sort of an active stance to protect the environment. They're just sort of rolling along with whatever industry wants to do, and they do just enough to make the environment not appear as a politically problematic issue for Bush, but not anything to irritate industry. Sort of that nice middle ground where, you know, people kind of forget about it.
And what impact does, what influence does an elected official, a congressperson or a senate have on the decisions being made or the political decisions being made by the EPA? How does that work?
Well, Congress can do a lot. They have two basic ways. One is through the budget. They can... And typically what we've seen here is efforts to restrict the agency's ability to regulate. You know, if you can't spend a dollar cleaning up the air in this way is how they'll regulate the environment through the budget. You know, it's not really legal technically, but it's done all the time. It's supposed to legislate through the budget. That's one. And then, of course, Congress can get involved on the positive side. I mean, there's no question that, for example, if you embarrass them enough, they will definitely do the right thing. One example was the gasoline additive MTBE, which is contaminates groundwater all over the country, I'm sure in your area too. Through enough embarrassment, advocates nationwide were able to get the Congress to not do bad things, and there were definitely some people that stepped up to the plate in the House and Senate and said, look, we're not going to let oil companies off the hook and make communities pay to clean up this gasoline out of their drinking water. So Congress has a role. They've obviously, this Congress, though...
That was going to be my next question.
Yeah, it's got major problems because with the Republicans in charge of everything, they basically decided that they're not going to, you know, exercise the basic responsibilities they have to oversight over EPA. And there have been essentially no oversight hearings on the environment in the past 5 years.
There have been none?
I wouldn't say none, but, you know, essentially none, not one that I can remember. I mean, if you think about toxics or clean air or whatever, there have been hearings, but mostly about whether, you know, how far we're going to roll back existing health standards and how we're going to ease things for industry. Those are what the hearings have been about. There's been nothing about what I think an essential role of Congress is, and I think most citizens would agree, which is, you know, oversight over the agency as to whether or not they're doing the job that Congress has asked them to do when they passed the Clean Air Act and the Clean Water Act. Those kind of hearings are critical, And that's how you can overcome this sort of politicization of the agency, and there's been none of that.
Well, compare it to the administration prior to this, the Clinton administration. Did we see efforts for oversight hearings? Were there needs for oversight hearings? How did they perform under that administration?
Definitely. I mean, what you saw under Clinton was, for example, a huge fight on the part of the Clinton EPA. Now, you know, the Clinton EPA was not perfect, but they did do some good things. And one was in the air quality area, where they fought for 5 years to really tighten up the air pollution, air quality standards as related to two kinds of pollutants. One, smog that puts kids and everybody in the hospital with asthma attacks, and another, fine particles or soot. And they really, really tightened those down. And that took a lot. I mean, that was just a knockdown, drag-out fight for, you know, 3 or 4 years. And they were leading the charge on that. What Bush has come in is basically trying to figure out how to not implement those, I mean, in a nutshell. So that, you know, just two fundamentally different approaches. They haven't gone as far as to actually officially roll back the standards. But, you know, what they've done is said, well, we need, you know, 10 more years, and you can't possibly put in place pollution control that will achieve that health standard, because, oh, that's going to cost utilities so much money. And, you know, we all know utilities are just on the verge of going bankrupt. That's what I think every time I pay my bill.
Absolutely.
They must be going bankrupt.
We're helping them out.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's been a real shift, you know, away from protecting the people.
Let me get to a caller or two here. Tim, you have a question for our guest, Richard Wiles.
Yeah. Liz, a question I want to ask him. Why does the government, or the taxpayers, if you will, spend all this money for regulatory agencies? They don't do a thing. The directors, secretaries, and whatnot are people that know nothing about the subject matter to which they're supposedly have oversight.
All right. Thanks for your question and comment.
Yeah, well, like I said, when you got political appointees who are put in running these agencies that, you know, by administration that really doesn't want the job done, you get the result you're talking about. On the other hand, we have to have these agencies. If we didn't have an EPA at all, you know, when times are good politically, we wouldn't make any progress. They've definitely achieved something, but you're right. Currently, you know, it's a good question. Why do we have them at all?
And in terms of where people can find out more information about this, Richard, where can we go?
Well, you can go to our website if you want to find out about how they're going to roll back pollutions reporting in your community. It's EWG.org.
EWG,
like Environmental Working Group. org.
Very good. Richard Wiles, Senior Vice President of the Environmental Working Group, thank you so much for joining us on the Wake Up Call.
Oh, you're welcome anytime.
All right. Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. And my other number is 454-0400. My email is revolution@lizbrown.com. Get to me.
Say. I remember when we used to sit in the government yard in Brooklyn. Abba talking to crookedness. I did mingle with the good people we meet. Good friends we had, good friends we've lost. My peeps who passed away. So woman, don't cry. So woman, don't cry.
You've been listening to the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown on AM 920 WGNU.
Science or religion? Republican or Democrat? Politics, education, crime? Or you just want to talk about Girl Scout cookies? What's your opinion? What's your solution? Tell me, Dave Linehan, on Radio Free St. Louis, WGNU, Monday through Friday, 4 to 6.
Hi, this is James Wheaton. I'm inviting you to get aboard the Glory Bound train.
every Saturday night right here over radio station WGNU, traveling down track AM 920. Join us. You'll be glad you did.
The Glory Bound Train broadcast with James Wafer is heard every Saturday night at 7:30 right here on WGNU.
Are you hungry? You need to go to Sweetie Pies, 4270 Manchester, 9481 West Florissant. Fried chicken wing, beef liver, baked chicken, pork chops, everything good that you want to eat. Sweetie Pies, 4270 Manchester, brand new location. Check them out. Makes you want to kiss your mama.
Hi, this is Jenny Peterson. I show up now and then on my favorite radio station, WGNU. I hope you'll be there, too. We'll let you know when I'll be on. Keep listening.
You're listening to the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown on AM 920 WGNU.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. My name again is Liz Brown. Don't forget my show is archived every day at whiterosesociety.org. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Hi, Liz.
Bev,
I wanted to make a statement or make a question. I have a little familiarity with water treatment plants. My husband used to inspect them and be part of the building of them. He told me once, I used to ask him, when the water that's going, that has been fixed, you know, as best they can, to be put back in the river, what happens when it gets backlogged, you know, during certain seasons? It'll get backlogged, the sewage, the various things that have to be purified. And he told me there's a thing that it allows it to bypass the system and just go back into the river. Do you know that about this?
No, I don't.
Okay, I didn't know. Do you still have your guess?
No, I do not.
Okay, well, then may I? That's something I wanted to get out there.
Sure.
And that's fine. But I want to tell you is I listen to, you know how I listen to a lot of shows during the night. If I can't sleep, I got my little earphones in. So when I tell you, I know a little bit about things, not that much, and I'm doing the dial, and there are a couple of men, two men that come on, they're like a religious station, you know, that's on, you know, really further down the aisle, down the dial, and they were revealing things about this port thing, that was unbelievable, that what is the name of that?
Dubai
has connections and main offices in Syria. I mean, it is like this thing is connected. And Iran, by the way, they were throwing out a lot of information about Iran. Iran has their fingers like a little snakes all over in all the regions. And, frankly, they're involved. There are so many things involved. Also, this guy Snow, there's a John Snow.
Yes.
All right. He somehow is involved in all this too, with also bringing in, and you'll say, Bev, you were dreaming. No, with the son of the president of China. Something about China and his son. I'm telling you, it's like this thing is really, you know, has tentacles. There's another thing. Why did Bush say first, it's a done deal. Then he was sticking in his heels and saying he'll veto it if you bring up anything. And then he's saying, I didn't know about it until very recently.
Well, all of those things are true, and he didn't know about it. He did not know that it was, I mean, he is saying that he did not know about it till after the deal was done.
Then why is he pushing in, you know, digging in like a child? You know?
Well, because it is a done deal in his mind. He didn't have to know about it, that it needed to be done. He's comfortable with the fact that it has been done. There's also a connection of this. When we speak of tentacles, I'm more concerned concerned about the tentacles of the Carlyle Group in this deal, because that's in it as well. There's also you have to understand that the nature of George W. Bush, he is going to stick his heels in, dig his heels in, as he's done with everything. It doesn't matter whether he was in on the ground floor. In fact, as my guest, the doctor that wrote the book, Dr. Justin Frank, who wrote the book Bush on the Couch, he's not there for the details of the things. He doesn't read the newspaper. He has notoriously short meetings. He doesn't have the attention span for these types of meetings, but he does have an attitude about thy will be done. And if this is something that needed to be done, he's never going to take it back. He's never going to admit that there was, he was asked during the debates, have you ever done anything wrong? And he says no. So of course he's not going to say that he made a mistake, that it was a mistake to do this $3 billion deal. He's never going to say that, whether he was at the meeting that where it took place and was approved or not.
There were more things revealed, not just, and these couple of men, their brothers, like, it's a religious station, I told you, but they were talking about the ships, like, even anything, there's 21 ports, and even if Israel were trying to send something, there were certain things, I don't know, it was getting very technical and how they could stop it. I'm telling you, this whole thing is just such a mishmash. I can't believe it.
Well, the American people, there has been a survey that has been taken. 70% of the American people say no to this deal. 70%.
Who is running anything? I mean, really, well, all right, whatever we think of Bush, that's another question. But it seems like nobody knew anything. Remember Hogan's Heroes or one of those? I know nothing.
Mm-hmm. Sergeant Schultz. Thanks for your call, Beth. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Dan.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
I just wanted to say that I think a lot of this is attributed to our national debt. It's where foreigners who invest in our country, whether mm-hmm. it's by buying bonds or lending us money.
There you go.
They're saying, look, buddy, it's time to pay the piper. You don't have any gold. Your currency's not backed by gold. Actually, it's not backed by anything. You keep printing paper. How about we take your railroads? How about we take your ports?
Mm.
I think the whole thing's pretty fishy when no American companies even bid on the ports.
Well, and there are people that said that as a result of the privatization of this, as a result of American businesses going offshore, there's no interest in American businesses in doing this. So we're kind of like...
I don't think it's privatization. What we're seeing here is a big form of crony capitalism, and until the American people wake up and realize that both parties are full of BS, and they stop, they put down the remote to American Idol and get involved, you know, nothing's going to change.
Thanks, Dan.
It's pretty frustrating.
It is. It is. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You're telling a whole lot of Americans to put down their remotes from American Idol. Because it's just... I watch it. I watched it last night. I mean, the reality... The scary part about the whole American Idol phenomena is this. What does it say about us as a society? How much escapism are we seeking that we as a nation, when we turned on our television sets, we didn't watch the Olympics. We didn't watch figure skating in the Olympics. We didn't watch the Grammys, where real people, real singers, real experts in singers, real people that get paid to sing. We didn't watch those folks. This nation chose instead to watch people that are amateurs in a contest of amateurs in singing. What does it say about our desire to escape? You know, Dan was asking the question, or making the statement, that Americans are not interested in this and can't put their remotes down. I guess the question is, or the issue is, that the observation is, why can't America turn away from something like that's a glorified, slickly produced, lot of pretty babies in it, karaoke contest? Because that's what it is. And I'm just as guilty. I watch it. I loved it last night. I sat there and watched it. talking on the phone to friends. I've watched it. But the reality is that what makes an American nation rather do that than do anything else? This is a sad commentary for where we are. There's a lot of pain out there and a lot of attempts to escape. People will buy super big television screens to watch karaoke. Slickly produced karaoke, but karaoke nevertheless. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. XX Peter.
How you doing, Liz?
I'm outstanding.
You know, on this port thing, of course, my opinion is different than the majority of American people, but, you know, you look at how other countries, so-called third world countries, you know, African countries have been asked to give up control to privatization for key industries like water, power, in order to get loans through the IMF. And also look at Panama with the Panama Canal and how during Papa Bush that, you know, this country went down and waged war over a small country after making a treaty with them. And in the treaty, it said that they would have to maintain an army in order for them to go through with the treaty where they would turn the Panama Canal back over to these people, the people of Panama. But the U.S. went down and destroyed their army, and therefore I said, well, you don't have an army, we're going to have to renege on the deal. So we see a lot of these things coming back, not only here in our hemisphere with Panama, but also around the world with these same type of policies that if you want to borrow our money, if you want us to have access to our markets, you have to give up key industries that's within your country, which is unheard of here in the U.S.
Well, so you're making the point, if I'm understanding you, is that what's being done, what is being attempted to be done here is less than what has been done to countries in Africa.
It's less than because I...
Well, no, let me finish.
Yeah, go ahead.
So if Americans are upset about this, then they should be doubly upset or as upset about what's happening to what America goes and does to other countries.
Well, America does to other countries is worse than what they are being asked to dish out now.
Okay, gotcha.
Thank you.
Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get to me. Rick.
Yeah, Liz?
Yes.
I got a perfect solution to this whole Iraq situation.
What's that?
Remember when Saddam was in charge, obviously the way that things are going over there now, he was just doing pretty much what had to be done. I mean, it was hard to keep these people from fighting and killing each other. And, you know, I just think that, you know, I'm sure he wasn't a sweetheart or anything, but he almost was just kind of doing what had to be done to keep that country from destroying it.
Kind of like Abu Ghraib?
Huh?
Kind of like Abu Ghraib?
No. But
No. I mean in terms of just doing what people are making the argument. We're just doing what had to be done to get the job done.
No, he was trying to keep... His country was fairly prosperous. It was, the people weren't fighting each other and
gotcha.
Stuff.
Gotcha.
And so... you know, I think that next time he's at his trial,
let him go.
No, let him sit down, and everybody all of a sudden starts laughing, and then Ashton Kutcher and Bush comes out from behind the curtain someplace and say, "Punked, we got you. You think we were really going to take your country away and put him back in charge? Let him go over there and fix
so
this back
was,
up."
So this is just a long Swiss. A sick,
yeah,
twisted
like
episode
Dallas,
of Punk'd.
You know, like the Dallas TV show. You know, oh, it was a dream, you know.
Thanks for your call. Punk'd, just kidding. Here's your country back. Oh, Jesus, 454-0400 is the phone number. Got to take a break. I'll be back. My name is Liz Brown. This is a wake-up call. Stay with me.
Redemption songs. Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our minds. Have no fear for atomic energy, 'cause none of them can stop the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Oh,
won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? Is all I ever had.
You've been listening to the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown on AM 920 WGNU.
This hour's Global News Update can be heard in its entirety next Wednesday in the 9:45 time slot.
Are you hungry? You need to go to Sweetie Pass, 4270 Manchester, 9481 West Florissant. Fried chicken wing, beef liver, baked chicken, pork chops, everything good that you want to eat. Sweetie Pies, 4270 Manchester, brand new location. Check them out. Makes you want to kiss your mama.
Homeowners, if you want to spend less on bills, how about reducing your mortgage payment up to 35%? It's easy with Quicken Loans. Just write down this number, 800-308-0133. Quicken Loans can show you how to cut your mortgage payment up to 35% so you can make your money work harder, like paying off high-interest credit card bills, affording home improvements, or increasing your retirement savings. Just call 800-308-0133. With over 150 exclusive loan products, the mortgage experts at Quicken Loan have something for you. This could be the most valuable call you'll make all year long. Find out how you can cut your monthly mortgage payments up to 35%. Call Quicken Loans now at 800-308-0133. 800-308-0133. Quicken Loans, America's home loan experts. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. Call now, 800-308-0133.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 to 4 on AM 920 WGNU. This is the station that discusses the issues that matter most to you. And if you have a problem with personal work or family relationships, it really matters to me. So call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA. Tune in to Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4. Then go do the right thing.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
Where else are you going to find dishwashers, washers and dryers? I'm talking about refrigerators. I'm talking about the really pretty cool silver refrigerators. I'm talking about tractors. I'm talking about stair steps. I'm talking about treadmills, everything that you need, the best service in town, Jerome Williams. Look, go on over to the corner of Union and Natural Bridge. Sears, get your shop on and tell him I told you to.
The James Gang is moving. No, not to Merrimack Caverns. The James Gang is moving to Wednesdays at 11 a.m. So join me, Dennis James, every Wednesday at 11 a.m. and saddle up for the James Gang right here on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920, WGNU.
Move 'em on, hit 'em up, raw high.
You are listening to the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown on AM 920 WGNU.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Liz Brown.
Orlando, good morning.
Good morning. I just wanted to say I love you.
Thank you.
Say hi to your listening audience. You brought up the American Idol show.
Mm-hmm.
He was saying something about the American Idol show, and I just had my opinion about it. I think what our problem is we concerned with, we are like really obsessed with race, and I think it's like in a distraction. I think it's a battle between the haves and the have-nots, and it's like you always have a certain group of people that you can blame for certain things, and while you blaming these other folks for the problems that's going on, and you have these folks, these elite folks, that's just like robbing this country blind. That's my opinion.
But I let me just walk through your opinion on that. When you use the word blame, that sounds as if someone is making an assessment about someone or something that is inaccurate, or that is a waste of time, or that is not real. The reality of the world that we live in is that there is racism, and that racism plays a huge role in the way that people are able to live out their lives,
right.
Way that generations are able to succeed or fall,
right.
The way that people are able to relate to one another. Racism is real,
yes,
and
right.
It has a real impact, and to suggest that a discussion about or a description of or the specifics given about racist acts or activities is blaming somebody is wrong. It's a diminishment it's illogical. How could we live in a world where this thing exists and us not talk about it, not point it out, not challenge it, and not try to do something about it? That's only illogical,
right.
It's insane, and it's irresponsible.
Okay. The reason why I say that is because I'm not saying that it's not important, but I'm saying if I can draw your focus as a diversion.
But again, you're saying that it's a diversion, but it is not. It is real.
Okay.
It is real. So how could it be diversion? It's real. I think maybe what you're trying to say, Orlando, is that there are other issues going on as well, that there is an effort to get some people not to see the whole picture,
right.
and that there is a class war going on as well.
Right.
Absolutely, there's a class war going on, but there's a race war going on as well.
Right.
And those that are starting the war and are benefiting from this war will use every tool at their fingertips,
right.
To keep this war going. Race and class is one of the things that they use to keep the war going, but it's still a real war.
Right.
It's still a real war.
What I was like, I mean, for example, like how is it that you're able to close like a regional hospital or a homogee hospital,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and you have like this certain company just takes over all this. You know what I mean?
That's race and that's class. Race makes it easy because it's on one part of town and then the other.
Right.
And class makes it easy because the people that you're taking it from oftentimes are people that are poor and can't fight back.
Right.
Both
and that's what, and that's what I'm saying. Don't you allow a person to do something like that because you say this group of people is lazy and they shiftless and this and that, so therefore they don't deserve this?
No, because everybody that is addressing the race issue and the class issue are still talking about the same people that are starting the wars. I mean, they're not letting those people off the hook.
Right.
Okay, and I got to roll, Orlando, but
okay.
Thank you very much for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. Neil, good
yes,
morning.
Good morning, Liz, again, and as always, enjoy your program.
Thank you.
And I was glad to hear you said that whatever you watched last night, I think it was in some portions of the Olympics or what have you.
Huh?
What was it that you watched? You said you was guilty of it, that you watched it last night.
That it was a guilty pleasure. American Idol.
Okay. Well, I'd much rather hear and want to hear it than you. Enjoy, relax your mind every so often.
Well, bless your heart.
Yeah, and I want to hear that you sometime this year that you done went to Africa and back again.
Yes, sir.
I want you because as bad as we need you, you have a big job to do, and there's no way you can do it if you don't relax your mind every so often.
Bless your heart. Thank you for
Dale,
that.
Dale, I want to talk to you just for a second the air about Leclerc gas. So I'm going to try to call you if it's okay right after you get off.
Actually, today is a really bad day because
okay.
I got a bus to move out of here today.
Okay.
And tomorrow's going to be a bad day, too. But Friday.
Friday.
Friday, call me right after the air on Friday.
I'll try that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Neil.
Bye-bye.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Jean.
Yes. If they talk about this politician that's in there now, you know, about going over there in Iraq and trying to straighten that out and everything, it reminds me of a neighborhood where you have five kids and your neighbor got five kids, and your kids can do what they want to do, but you're going to try to criticize your neighbor for what their kids are doing.
Okay, I feel you. Okay, thank you.
That's the way I feel about Bush.
Thanks for your
he
call.
He wants to go over there and tell everybody else what to do, and he can't control what's going on here because he's not trying to.
Thank you so much, Jean.
All right.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Lois.
Hi. Good morning, Liz. How are you?
I'm outstanding.
That's good. I have a couple of theories that I want to throw out there, and I just wanted to know how many people is thinking this too. When I watched the trial of Saddam, I don't believe that's him. And the bombing of the mosque, I really believe that American soldiers is doing that to stir up those people to try to get the Civil War between them going. This Bush wants that Civil War so bad, I wouldn't put it past us, his administration, underhandedly.
The Shiites are making the same claim that the bombing of the mosque is U.S. driven. That
right.
The CIA.
I believe them.
The CIA.
And I wonder how many other people out there believe that. And I know people who's in position can't really say, but they won't come after me because I'm not a nobody, so I can say things like this. But I really believe that, first of all, that is not the real Saddam Hussein. He doesn't look like him. And as everybody knew, that he had many, many people that looked like him. Maybe you can't say, but I really believe that this is really, you know.
Do I? Okay, what's your question?
Huh?
What is your question to me?
Well, I want to ask you, how did you feel about it? Do you have any thoughts along that
about
line?
About which one?
About the bombing of the mosque.
Oh, I said it on my show many times that I would not be surprised that it is the CIA involvement.
Okay.
Absolutely. I mean, because that's one of the things that they do. I mean, the CIA was behind the murder of Patrice Lumumba. You know, and also, I've had the discussion here that the CIA is behind the release of those cartoons. You know, how do you justify an invasion into Iran?
Right.
You stir stuff up so much that people say that we have to go into Iran.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, sure. I'm an American.
I hope to God one day this comes out. I really do.
Thanks for your call, Lou.
Okay, have a good day.
All right. Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown, the Wake Up Call. I will be back same time, same place tomorrow. But in the meantime, I want to remind you of a wonderful opportunity that you have Wednesday, March 22nd from 6:30 to 7:30, a town hall meeting, the role of minorities in governments and business. Maxine Waters, Congresswoman from the 35th District in California, will be there speaking. Liz Brown, that would be me. I'm going to be speaking there as well. And also Senator Rita Days of the 14th Missouri Senatorial District. That's Wednesday, 6:30 to 7:30. For more information, 436-8721. That's 436-8721. You don't want to miss this, folks. I'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. Stay strong.
You come a long way out. That's not progress. The progress is healing the wound
sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from the ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. That's Air Force One landing in New Delhi today. Now President Bush is in India, which is where he is supposed to be, start of a visit with leaders from that nation and from Pakistan. But it was not the first start of the first stop, I should say, on the trip. ABC's Pam Coulter has more from New Delhi.
While in New Delhi, President Bush will encourage the development of nuclear power to meet the demand.